This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
We all have cough drops. We're ready to go. Can we make this show happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, everybody. It's the show. It's Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee sitting right here. That's Marnie Ryer and Al Perkins. Kat Carlson is sadly still under the weather.
Beyond the help of the cough drops.
And I'm not sure if we're all at 100% yet myself. I really wasn't sick, but I made the ever so smart decision last night, because it's beautiful. I mean, the days and the nights right now are beautiful. I chose to sleep with the windows open. And woke up with a little bit of a, well, that's a little tender throat there, a little concerned. Yeah. So I've been sucking on cough drops all day trying to alleviate that. But
that's a good thing.
Yeah, but other than that.
But it is nice to have the windows open.
But I agree. Oh, it's wonderful to have the windows open. Yeah, moms have been having hers up for quite some time. It's lovely here in the wonderful Arizona. Hi, everybody. Welcome. My gosh, the chat room got started early tonight. Joe DeGanzik's in there. Anant, Amina, Drew. Drew's in there. Hi,
Aaron.
Drew.
Hi, and Aaron.
I didn't see Aaron.
Anant.
Oh, there's Aaron.
Yeah.
Got it right there in the middle. Hi, everybody.
And if we
miss a couple of your posts in the chat room tonight, normally we have two chat rooms here in the studio. One is over here behind.
We usually have like seven chat rooms going.
Oh, there's that. And the other one is usually on a chat room so we can look at. But tonight, because so much is happening in New Hampshire, we are watching the. What are we watching?
We're just watching the percentages change at this point. They've already declared the winners, but we're watching the New Hampshire primary results come in, see how many people were stupid enough to vote for people that already dropped out. it'll be interesting to see where the numbers
where they settle out.
Like,
yeah,
we know
totally.
We know who's in, but
right. It's been interesting. And what I do enjoy, like, and I've made no, this isn't any secret. In the past couple of years has been my really where I've gotten on board and I've paid a lot more attention to all this stuff, even though it still baffles me how some of it works. But I get pure joy out of watching some of the people, for example, Rachel Maddow, who's on the screen right now. I enjoy watching how damned excited she gets over shit.
Oh, yeah.
She just geeks.
It's a sexy time, yeah.
She geeks out over stuff. It's so funny.
And it's a big deal to be hosting, you know, it's kind of just become the norm now with Anderson Cooper and her, but it's a big deal that there is an out gay person holding presidential debates.
Right.
Like, those are, like, that's a big coup in TV news to moderate
right.
a debate, and the fact that these two people, like, I kind of wanted Anderson Cooper to come out, I think it was in 08, he came out, like, I think before the 12 election.
Okay.
But the fact that he was moderating, like, I was like, that's the time to come out and let these people know that are having these topics.
Right.
Like, you're dealing with an out gay person.
Right. By the way, count me in.
You don't have to wonder where the gay person in the audience you might be offending is. They're right in front
They're
of
right
you.
There.
Yeah, the call's coming from inside the house.
Right.
So that's, but it was one of those things that I thought would be a big deal, and now it's just a non-issue kind of, like, nobody has any qualms about going on Anderson Cooper. You know what I mean?
Like, no, but he they're also very, and I'm sure that, they're professional enough. That's not the only vein of questioning they're ever going to get them on. They get them on everything.
Right, but the fact that they're
you have to face me with these answers.
It used to be two straight white guys talking
right.
about women's health and,
right.
and gay rights, and now it's like you're having that, you're telling the person that's interviewing you
that you're less than.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Did you see the excerpt of where Rubio is talking to the guy who's like, I've been married forever.
Oh, yeah.
That little back and forth.
Whew. I couldn't find the video for it. I found the transcript of it everywhere.
Oh, I saw it today. I'm sure we can find it on YouTube, but it was kind of heated where the guy's sitting there, and it looks like he's sitting with his mom, like at some table, and Rubio walks up behind him, and I think Rubio's even got his kid with him, because he moves the kid, like, on. Like,
just pushes him down on the ground, like don't breathe that air. one of the things that makes his, if you haven't seen it, we're talking about, there's an encounter in New Hampshire where a married gay man confronts Rubio on his stance on gay marriage, and Rubio's answer is, I think it should be left up to the states. And New Hampshire did at the legislative level, first civil unions, then gay marriages. So they
before the feds did it.
They were never.
Yeah.
It was never on the table. They went all the ways that they said that they want them to go. New Hampshire did that, And he's still going to say, I'm going to come in with the Supreme Court and overturn that decision, meaning yours. Like, you went the way you wanted, but I'm still going to overturn it.
Because I'm a douche.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of Jesus.
So that's when you know you're not even camp. You don't even know your facts to campaign in a state.
He doesn't. That has been proven so time and time again that he is a very scripted, over and over. There was a, I mean,
And I can say it. He's a child.
We've probably all seen it here in the past few days where, from the debate, where Chris Christie got him four different times saying the exact same thing. Well, they showed him today. He was doing some barnstorming or whatever the fuck he was doing somewhere, doing a speech. And in the same sentence, like, he used the line and then said something else and came back and used the same sentence and caught himself up. Like, fucked it. Like, he didn't know what to do. Like, the record had skipped.
Yeah, I had told you about that. We had seen each other before whenever the 117th debate was, that the guy had said that he had something scripted and just kept repeating it. Remember,
sure.
We had that conversation right before the debate.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, that we had that. I said that there was a guy saying that Rubio just keeps saying the same thing, and he doesn't get, like, it's not a punchline. It's not funny. He keeps putting it into all his speeches, and you know that the reporters must be just losing their fucking minds of boredom.
Because we've heard that. Like, I've written that before.
Yeah. But it was a weird. It was a weird exchange that we had that conversation that the reporter was always saying, like, he's on some kind of a loop, and I don't get it because it's not a funny joke. Like, it's not a zinger or something. But,
well, you were even saying that he was rehearsing something that was going to be his zinger line in something else.
No, it was in that. It was.
Was that the one we're talking about? Okay. Different
and then
one.
The next day you sent me the thing with that was it. And I'm like, that's why are you. What?
It's the same thing over and over and over.
And it makes. I don't know.
Marn, have you been watching any of this or following?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really a dumb question. I didn't need to ask you that. But
no, not at all. Not at all. I gork out on this stuff. I just love it. Yeah, I'm a big geek with this.
Oh, I totally forgot it is Fat Tuesday. Totes forgot it.
I didn't realize.
I mean, I'm already there, figuratively.
Yeah. I got the fat, and I just thought I'd put on the green. Why not, you know?
Yeah. Oh, why? What does green have to do with Fat Tuesday?
Well, like the green-purple kind of, the different colors.
Gosh. I have some beads in the other room. Maybe I'll just go get them. I'll just wear them for the show.
I ain't taking nothing off.
Nobody's flashing.
I'm going to be like Madonna and Live Aid. I ain't taking nothing off.
I don't think you're taking anything off, but beads on.
Yeah, you're supposed to flash.
Oh, no. God, no.
No, please. Please. It's a family show.
Right.
We won't judge your family, but.
Yeah, no, I have been. I was very intrigued with the debate last Thursday, I believe it was, Democratic debate.
I want to switch sides.
Oh.
Stand
I'm
by.
I'm distracted by that
this
TV.
Is very weird. You're going to have the mirror.
Well,
that's worse, but.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Stand by. Okay. Al's moving. I got to change. I got things to change here. Hang on.
All right,
we assure you his voice will be just as annoying on that side of the table as it is.
Because I literally can't watch TV do this.
Oh. Well, I can change. I can turn it off.
No, because I can't. Like, I can't not watch TV.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay. It's just on.
Yeah, it's just on.
Oh my God!
So I'm zoning out on what I'm saying.
I was going to be excited though with the debate.
Camera angle. I hate that mirror, but here we are.
Well, you're sitting.
You look lovely.
Well, look outside behind you. It's the nighttime skylight.
Oh yeah, and I'm in the color that you can't wear with a green screen.
That's true. Very, very good.
What's she wearing? Green.
Green.
It'd probably be worse if Marnie, because that color's a lighter color.
Wait, I look thinner. Want to switch?
Annette likes your hair.
But yeah, with the debate, I just was so into it. Because with them being on stage finally together.
Right, just the two of them. Just the two of us.
Well, I mean, even if O'Malley had been there, it would have just been the two of them.
Virtually,
I mean,
right,
the way that they, everything had been going. But having the town hall, I enjoyed the different town halls. But
I missed that.
Yeah, I enjoy the town hall setup. I like that. But having them on stage together, it was very interesting how this is turning out in New Hampshire to a degree, because I really thought it would bolster her a little bit more, bolster Hillary a little bit more, and it looks like it didn't.
No, but she's not losing by the 30 points that they
right.
had talked about.
No, for the independents that were kind of like they didn't know, the different numbers that they're talking about, at least what I heard was that they're saying that the independents that were still holdouts said, no, we definitely.
Well, he's independent. Like, he's a built-in. Right. He's not a Democrat,
right.
except for
right.
this election. He is an independent. That caucus is Democratic. So he was going to win the state that's near his home that's mostly independents, and you have someone who's actually running.
I just thought her numbers, I think, would be different.
Can I get you to move your whole self this way a little bit?
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, my God. Yeah. Much better.
Is this where I usually look at Kat?
I just thought her numbers would be a little bit different. I know. I saw that.
They moved right back where he was.
Okay, better.
Well, no, the chair has this weird... The chair did it. Like, I went to shift this way. The chair was like, well, no, you're this way.
Sinkhole.
So that was my impression. That a couple days, you know, the talk was for Wednesday through... yesterday that she was going to lose by 30, you know, he was ahead by 30 points. It was going to be a 30-point race. So, I mean, she's not losing by that. She's not losing by great. Losing's not great.
No,
but it's only by 18 or so points. But it's the curious thing now that it's over and it's said and done is to see where the actual vote totals come in because it's not a winner-take-all state. So how many votes you get makes a difference. So him winning by 30 percentage points makes a huge difference delegates, but winning by 18 points, it's going to be like everyone's virtually tied at this point, Republican and Democrat side. No one's won by enough to like get you a huge amount because Vermont or New Hampshire's got 12
people delegates.
On
it. Right. Well, and I think that
in a thing where you need like 1,000 points or 1,500 points to win, they're giving out 6.
So is what you're talking about in regards to people voting for people who forget? I just saw Santorum and Huckabee.
Right, that's what I've been talking like about. People that dropped out got votes.
Yeah.
Hundreds of votes.
Stupid. Like people aren't paying it. They literally aren't paying attention.
But here's the other part of it.
They paid their money to be on the ballot.
And who knows?
Okay, so regardless, like legally.
Yeah, they didn't write their name in.
And when you look at things like here, 8 years ago, there were people that sent in their ballots. Because you can send in your ballots. I don't know about New Hampshire. And here, there were votes that went for John Edwards. Right? And he had dropped out by that point. But people with mail-in ballots...
Had already done it. Cast it, right.
Yeah, it's crazy. But the good thing is well, it'll make sense. So everybody that's in the states that usually don't matter, it's usually over by Super Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So the people in the later states, their primaries no longer make a difference. Okay. There's a chance that this year, whichever party you're on, the race will go on long enough that like Arizona will matter, which it hasn't in like...
Ever.
Like,
ever.
We kind of made a difference in the Clinton thing, but not by much. Because I think she won here, but lost anyways.
Okay.
I think we were still in it.
I don't know. It's been very interesting to watch the dynamics. There was, you know, with Bill Clinton being out on the campaign trail.
You can just say
Bill. Being out on the campaign trail and the things that he is having to say, I'm catching myself kind of flinching a little, personally. Not that it's not going to sway my vote one way or another in that. But even in the debate with the two of them, there were things, and it's not about saying, oh, people are going to say Hillary's a woman, so therefore she's screeching, or she's this, or she's that. Not that she's strong, or whatever. But the visual delivery is you're beating up on Uncle Bernie. And she has the shit down pat. And she's absolutely bored with being at these things. You can tell. Because she's like, really? That's your answer? Okay. Here's why that's a dumb answer.
Yeah, it's been so repetitive for I mean, even with the joke about Rubio saying the same thing four times, canned. Like, I can't
free
watch
college.
Them anymore. And they're so fucking boring. Like, great, free college, free this, free that.
Right.
Well, that was the thing with this one that was different with the two of them because it was a great exchange.
Yeah, the beginning, the first part was where they argued about what, there was a little bit of fireworks, but it wasn't substantive. They're on the same side.
Right. And that's what you kept hearing. Like, he's going, well, I'm sure that Hillary, you know.
And you're like, you're fighting for the same team, girls. Right. And then the other one, you're fighting for the same team. Like, I get it. Like, Rube, I get it.
But it's a bunch of boys playing in a sandbox when Chris Christie's like, there it is. See, I told you he does that with Rubio. Yeah.
Like, there was like 6 interesting minutes in the Republican one and like 4 interesting minutes in the Democratic one. And even I'm like, enough. Yeah, and it's not getting any better because they're already down to 2. The other one's going to winnow the field, but winnow? Is that a
winnow?
Word?
So you're going to winnow it down. Whittle.
Really
winnow.
Word?
Did you mean whittle or narrow?
I think winnow.
Like winnow.
I feel like winnow's a word.
Winnow it down.
I don't know winnow is a word.
I think that we'll look it up.
You can do it right now. So, but by the time they get down to that, like, I'm so at the who cares part of the debate thing. Like, and, you know, they're fighting with Debbie Wasserman Schultz about they need more debates. And she's like, no, you really don't.
No.
This point, it's either you, because if by now you're like, oh, maybe I should watch a debate. Come on.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you.
That's like, thank God, I really want a ticket on that Titanic. Well, everything I've heard has been fantastic.
I think that watching the pundits kind of go back and forth, the people, I'm fascinated, if that's even the right word, disappointed as well, but fascinated with the people that are pro-Trump.
Oh, it's astounding to me.
Fascinated. When they're like, no, but this is what he means. And I'm like, but this is what he says.
Yeah. Right.
And
the interviews with his supporters, yes. Just they like...
Mind-boggling.
Bitch, you crazy. So winnowing is an agricultural method developing by ancient cultures for separating grain from chaff. So you do winnow.
So you're
separate the men from the boys. The grain from the chaff.
Yeah. Well, we've learned something. Is it W-I-N-N-O-W?
Yep.
I feel it is.
I mean, I was
pretty comfortable.
You know what's funny is I heard one of the commentators use that word either today or last night, and I'm like, did they just misspeak? Because I, even coming from the Midwest, I don't recall ever hearing that. I just have always heard the phrase "separate the wheat from the chaff."
Yeah,
not the shaft. That's totally different. I've never heard it, the phrase winnowing. Well, that's all right. Look how educational this show has become.
We are educational. That's very true.
You have to remember, I did help like two different people with their GRE test, the vocabulary cards.
That's right.
So I did spend two solid years on vocabulary cards for other people.
Yeah.
And then you by proxy learned your own self. Look at you. My God.
It really was kind of scary. And I told you, I had the friend that always, he suffered, I call it the Reverend Jesse Jackson syndrome, where they've almost got the right word, like kind of what I just did, where I had that narrowing, not separating from the grain from the, like I was at the right point, but it's not really the right word, but it's fancy and like, you should let
Jesse
it go.
Jesse Jackson does it all the time.
Yeah. So every time my friend would like have the word and say they'd use it in a sentence, I'm like, no, not like that. Like, no, that's not the sentence.
Not that sentence.
Not
another
that sentence.
Sentence.
Yeah. maybe not there.
Well, I missed you boys.
Missed you too. We took a whole week off for those of you who didn't realize it. And if you didn't, well, you don't listen enough. We did take an entire week off last week because everybody was a little under the weather. So you're back. Actually, did you miss 2 weeks or did we just the one?
Just the one.
Okay, just the one. Just the one, dear?
We had Katie just the one. Here one
That's
week
right.
for Kat.
Katie was here.
Oh, that is right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Got it.
So I've actually listened to a few of the shows back because I've had nothing to do for
That's true. You've been a little...
8 days.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can only like walk to the store or go to lunch for so long, and then they're like, it's time to leave, sir.
Yeah. Could you please get out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to close, sir.
It's one waffle. Oh, that's where we went. That's why I couldn't remember where we went to lunch. We went to...
Lolo's?
That's where we had that conversation, was at Lolo's.
Oh, gotcha. Lolo's chicken. That was my first. Never been there until.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, interesting.
Stupidly good.
And I would never have guessed that that's where it was. It just boom. It's in the middle of there. They pick their neighborhood. They know what they're doing. But it's a great little restaurant.
It's grandmother's restaurant. Yeah. Just up the road a bit.
Up the road.
Mrs. White's.
Wait, is this a local thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought Lolo's was a chain like out of somewhere else.
No,
it's here. And Mrs. Remember I was talking about Mrs. White?
I saw that.
That's his grandmother right down the street. And he opened the chicken and waffles place not too far away. And then they rebuilt.
I didn't read any of the history.
That's not the original location. It was like a block south or a block north.
Oh, see, I was under, because it seems like I've heard that something chicken and waffles before.
Well, there's Roscoe's in L.A. That's the one that everybody goes to in L.A.
Oh.
That's how we went there, was because we were waiting to go to Roscoe's, and it was like hours of waiting.
Right.
The first time I got in after a while, but like it was a Sunday in West Hollywood, and me and, it was Jason and Rob and everybody were in L.A.
Mm.
We were in WeHo for something.
But it was, who'd have ever thought that chicken and waffles
and the mac and cheese?
We didn't have that, but the damn biscuits and gravy.
Oh, yeah, real good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Oh. I almost stabbed him for it. Like, because I was just like, you know, I kind of remember that, and he ordered a side biscuits and gravy to taste, and I'm like, you know, I know I really shouldn't stick my dirty fucking flu-filled fork in your food, but...
Here goes!
Or use that much alliteration, but it's either I put the fork in that and eat it, or I stick it in your neck and watch you die and then eat it. So, really,
either way, I'm going to have a bite.
Yeah, exactly.
So just we just worked towards the middle and left the middle is what we did. So as to not contaminate
germs.
Me.
Yes, yeah, right. And I got, I wasn't just under the weather. I got hit by the bus of the weather.
It sounded like it.
Mine was in 30 seconds because I was out with you last Sunday. I was on a long bike ride trying to watch Grease because I thought Kat Carlson was going to be at the Grease showing at Cobalt. Mm-hmm. Turns out no one was at the...
shut up. Okay.
So I opened the window to do my taxes, and I was like, I'm going to be inside. I'm going to open the window, get a little fresh air in here, and just started coughing, and then coughed all the way there. went to dinner, coughed a couple times, went home, and all of a sudden, like,
death. Oh,
giant fever, was sore all over, and was like two doctor's appointments in 2 days with different diagnosis and drugs. And last Tuesday, I was in the middle of a blackout. Like, I got up and stood in the shower for the longest time thinking I was coming here.
I read that after.
And then, like, my skin was burned. I was so cold. Mm. My fever was so bad. And I was just standing in the shower. And finally, I looked down because I'm like, I don't know how long I've been in here. And then my arm was, like, all scalded red. And I'm like, I'm going to get out. And then I was going to get ready.
Or the third doctor appointment.
Yeah,
right, right, for the burn.
And yeah, I sat down at my computer to type out that I wasn't coming. And I'm like, I think I've been in here for, like, an hour.
Wow.
And the next morning, I woke up and I was like, I don't know if we did the show.
Yes.
At some point, I got up on a step stool and changed my air filters. I don't know what the hell that happened.
Oh, my God.
Like, there was, like, groceries and water bottles. I don't remember going to the grocery store.
First, you did manual labor? What the hell?
That's how sick I was. I climbed up.
Yeah, no shit. How did that?
Because I thought you had come over. And I was like, oh, maybe he came over. But I'm like, and then I read that post the next morning on Facebook about being in the shower for so long. I'm like, oh, that really happened. What else? So I'm like, thank God I didn't get behind the wheel of that car and try to drive over here.
Yeah. Well,
but I kind of sat up in that chair that I typed that in.
Small room, you know.
Yeah. I was convinced. It was just a cup of coffee.
It should be fine.
Yeah. No.
The absolute funny part was I really did not remember that I didn't come here. Like, I couldn't remember anything that had happened on Tuesday.
Happens to me.
That would have been worse than drunk driving.
And I live here.
Cough syrup with codeine, and I went under the bus.
Yeah, apparently.
El autobus.
Well, I was fine, comparatively speaking.
Yes.
Anyway.
And then the weather got nice.
Oh,
so it's gorgeous, been, you know. Gorgeous.
And then he's been bouncing all over town, riding his bike, but he can't breathe.
Yeah.
Cough, cough, cough.
Yeah.
I'm sure I sound like Typhoid Mary coming down the street. Everybody enjoying their windows open just hears me coughing on my bike.
She's a chain smoker.
Packing up a leg, exactly.
Right. Smoking Tarentans and riding a bike.
Enjoy those menthols, bitch. They're cough drops.
Dan Brewer's coming.
Oh, you know, speaking of cough drops, I think things have changed over the years with regards to medicines, and I just have been oblivious to it. Now, I remember back in probably 20 some odd years ago, you used to be able to get really good sinus spray that would open everything. Now it doesn't. Like, they took whatever the really good chemical...
Probably because people were...
Pardon me. So, you know, they took the old nasal spray that if you did it with a glass of wine, you were... Wow!
Living Judy Garland. Yeah.
So I missed that. That sucks. Now, the other thing was, I used to buy, when I was younger, you'd buy either... I forget if it was Vicks or Halls. I want to say it was Vicks. But, like, they were... potent as hell cough drops. Like, it was the... Was
now
it,
they're watermelon.
Like the mentholated
and
stuff.
Menthol,
like, I remember the old commercials back in the days.
Yeah, but those are the ones that I bought.
No, those don't even do it.
No, it doesn't, but it's as close as you're going to get.
Maybe they were Halls because they were square. They were square and they came in the little thing. Yes.
I've told you that story that my grandfather used to give one of those to his dog Bunny, every fucking nighter.
I do not remember
Bunny.
This.
That he was convinced that the dog, like, cough drops, and then the dog dropped dead, and I swear it just had a hole blown through its head. From a lifetime of, like, menthol cough drops.
Oh, I miss those.
On the side of the label, do not give to dogs.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
May harm dog's life.
Because that's what people, like, I never knew all that shit about, like, dogs couldn't have chocolate. Like, I didn't know any of that stuff that dogs can't have. But I'm like, but I guess nothing happens bad with 18 years of fucking Hall's cough drops.
Well, it could be the 18th dog was just 18.
I don't know how old it was.
Seven. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
It's an old dog. New trick.
Birthday was May 17th, though. Same day that Donna Summer died.
Oh.
I'll remember for the rest of my life that May 17th was my grandmother's dog's Bunny's birthday. Who the fuck knows where that brain cell is and why we can't kill it?
Oh, for those of you who aren't in the chat room, I will read Kat Carlson is at home, and she's posting, "It's a sad state of affairs here. I'm starting to identify with the grandparents of the movie Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I've been camped on the couch for 3.5 days straight."
You're just a couple days behind us, honey. I'm so sorry.
But have you caught up on, is your DVR empty? Like, have you caught up on everything? Have you binge-watched as much?
She was begging for movies.
Yeah, she was looking for
something and I thought, oh, well, she's gone through everything, I think.
Maybe so.
And I feel like I watched 700 episodes. Episodes of the X-Files, and I haven't even finished season two, and I'm like, Christ, Lord, how many episodes of this show were there?
Forever.
I mean, I'm so used to, like, 13-episode seasons now that I'm like,
how many were there?
24, 25 a year. You're like, and they're,
wow.
And it's a lot of information.
Yeah, it is.
So, I got...
you have to assimilate. Wait.
Well, usually TV dramas are so pointless that you're like, I can't do anything. You know what I mean? I can check out for a little while and come back.
Right.
Got it. I'm moving something because I had, you'll notice, I'm moving something to do with their shot because since Al changed his position, you'll see that the Phoenix, Arizona is cutting off the top of your head. So I have moved it. There we go. So now it's in the lower corner. I want to be able, people to see the top of your head.
Oh, okay. Why, is that green? I don't understand. No. So what else did you do this week? Oh, I got to tell one funny story. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Please
you.
Please do. God, I didn't start.
Okay, so sleeping at night, I've been listening to podcasts like I always do. Yeah. And the lady from Serial came back.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, she's been on with season two, but because Adnan's trial is this week, the convicted murderer from season one, his part of his retrial and his appeal is this week. So she came on and did some updates, you know, like after the courthouse.
Right.
And she's so concerned about the sound of her podcast that she's sitting in the closet of the hotel to get a better sound with like towels and bags around it. Anyway, kind of funny. So I was listening to it, and they're just little 15-minute updates of the trial, and it's really badly done because she doesn't know what she's talking about. She has no researcher there to help her. She's not, like, interviewing a lawyer, so she's just giving her impressions.
Okay.
Okay.
And she really isn't a lawyer, so she's kind of like, well, that was kind of fun, but... And it's like listening
compared
to two teenagers.
Compared to how...
It's not well-researched.
Well put together the other was, right.
But anyway, so The podcast ends, and I didn't realize that it was on a download list. Most of the stuff I listen to isn't because I don't want to listen to stuff all night. I just listen to it until I fall asleep. Well, this was on the download list, and it went into all of our shows. But I slept through what must have been like 3 or 4 shows because I ended
That's like 12 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I've been sick.
Depending on what day that could have fallen.
Well, true.
And I woke up to, I miss you like crazy! And I'm like laying in bed, and I'm like, "What the fuck was that noise?"
That's what everybody else said when you were singing it.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
so
that's
and then
funny.
I'm like, laying there, and I
should make
crazy.
That. Let's all make download that to make that my alarm because I think that that will wake me
it's
and everyone
startling.
Else on my block. Yeah.
Oh my god!
I can believe
and
that.
And I really had to laugh. And I was like, "Oh my god!" I felt like a meanest cat, Hannibal, like trying to find any place to be but there when
right
that noise
there,
was
yes.
going on.
It's very
oh
funny.
Gosh!
Well, I don't really remember the drive here, so I can't tell you what I did last week.
Oh,
that's all. I don't know. I laid around it and I worked.
And I've seen nothing on your Facebook to help you remind you
yeah,
that you did. So.
No, I just
you did well. No, what the day?
Friday.
Whatever event it was, something to do with setting up things or doing something with Erin at school, and you had her yard done.
Oh, yeah, that was last Friday.
Okay.
I wanted to be able to
go. Was it Friends Day?
And,
what day was it? What was that day that you did something at school for her?
Oh, they had a thing at school. Like it's something to do with like a friend's thing, a theme, not just for, not like the TV show,
right.
This kind of holding hands too. And just kids, you know, being kids. And so they all had to cut out their hand and write something sweet on it. And then you'd put it up. Anyway, so I went and I helped her with that. And I wanted to be able to go and take care of her yard and get all that taken care of. There was not a shot in hell. I was not going to go out there and like kick all that stuff up and do all that. I was like, no. So here's money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go and have somebody do that. And thank God.
Welcome
they
to
did
it.
A
throw,
really great
throw
job.
Throw money at the problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
He loves lawn humans. He does.
Oh, yeah.
But it was great. The gentleman who does my yard was there. And I said, would you mind going
right over there?
Yeah, I had texted him the night before. I'm like, do you mind about that? And so he went over. And so it was really nice. But that was about it. I mean, obviously Sunday, watched the game, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really kind of boring.
We watched it all with my mom.
The worst football game I've ever encountered.
It was pretty bad.
It was kind of boring.
It was pretty bad.
And usually you'll get... livened up by, because some of the commercials are good. And
that,
I
missed that too.
It was either toenail fungus or I can't shit or I just shit my pants. Those are your choices.
Well, and I still can't figure out what that dog monkey thing was. And
that was very weird.
Actually, I may or may not have had nightmares about that. I feel like I did.
What was the dog monkey?
It was the dog monkey.
It was
three things.
It was
dog monkey.
It's three things. It was an energy drink. It had three
dog
things in it.
Dog monkey baby.
Dog monkey baby. And it was the weirdest little thing.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that.
That
there was
a
like
weird,
two commercials
terrifying.
That were kind of good and...
The rest of it was crap.
I liked
and,
the anti-drunk driving campaign with
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren was very good. And there was like one other commercial that made us laugh, and that was it. Like,
yeah. Well, I normally, we were out running errands, but normally, like, the highlight for any game to me is the national anthem. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I get home and the beginning of it wasn't recorded.
Oh.
And I was like, what? This is weird. So I thought, meh, well, whatever. And then I heard that people talking about Lady Gaga. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I need to hear that. So I went on and listened to that and I thought just fucking brilliant.
It was.
That
would have been very nice. Again, she's knocking on the park. And I don't think we've talked about the fact that she's nominated for an Oscar this year. In the best original song category. Okay. So, I mean, she's having a year, Brownie.
I think she's amazing.
Yeah.
Her voice, her range, everything.
And the fact that she could just sing in different styles, but she knew, like, all right, now.
She was knocking that shit out of the park and knew it.
And the little meme that said, when you have to sing the national anthem at 6:30, but host the Hunger Games at 8. Right. That was a funny meme for what she was wearing.
That was funny. But I just think she was amazing. So I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed watching people discuss the halftime show. I thought that was very, very funny to me.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff going on.
How people were, I mean, it was very, I'm going to go with kind of politics. Like how you either really liked it or you really didn't. There wasn't really any kind of in between.
And somebody on Wednesday was like, I just think it's the wrong place for that kind of statement.
What kind of statement? And then they said it was about the police and Black Lives Matter and Black Panther.
I guess her
and
new song is about race.
Oh, no. And it was about like the ex that was in the field.
I did not get any of that. And I knew who the Black Panthers were. And I thought.
And I thought that the ex across her was Michael Jackson. They were doing the
flashback stuff.
Paying homage to and I really did think that was a
shout-out.
And I
thought it was like, oh, it's an update of. To me, it was an update of. Rhythm Nation.
Oh, kind of. Yeah, I'd say that.
You know what I mean? Okay. Like, you know what I mean? I just thought, maybe we're just doing a little take. And they kind of sampled some stuff in there. So I got a little confused as to, like, I didn't know what that's. I'd never heard that song. It's a new song, it turns out. But so I thought it was going to be Who Runs the World.
Her Formation song. That's the new one. She dropped the single the day before.
Yeah, so I wasn't familiar with it, but it sounded like she was kind of sampling, like, some. And they had just, they did the remix of. Of Mark Ronson.
Oh, Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk. I thought, maybe this is a remix of an old song. And then she kind of sounded muddled, so I didn't really know what the hell she was saying about it. Even today with my little, it's political hat, I'm like, I don't know what the hell she's saying.
Yeah.
I don't understand a word of that. Mm-hmm. Talking about your linen. Right. Bitch, what?
What?
Yeah. For those of you missed the meme of the Lady Gaga, there it is for you, if you're watching us. When I saw that, it made complete sense to me, her look. But she sold that. It was.
And she looks phenomenal.
And at the same time, I thought she did look phenomenal. And I loved her shoes.
But
she,
you know,
red, white, and blue. Yeah, I saw that.
And it was like the flag on the right one. I thought that was
very cute.
I have Chucks much like that.
To me, she keeps looking a little old. Like, I don't, like, to me, when she does things, she's less than 30 or she just turned 30. Like, she's very young. But to me, she always, like, the dressed up Gaga is like 10 years older than the, I just
how
got here
she
in
normally,
an egg.
Right, yeah. Because she really, she seemed like she was like 19, but like a minute ago. But yeah, she was really something. Really something. And she did. She should have just dropped the mic and walked
out. And Drew, she's had a couple of those moments. She really did kind of stand there. And she
remember at the Oscars?
Oh, I was just going to say. And then she did it at the Oscars, too. Mic drop.
Yeah. When she did Over the Rainbow. Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, the girl's got talent. It's not acting.
And so many people thought that she was just a Madonna impersonator. Wasn't kind her coming out in the similar songs. I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed.
Yeah, and one of the things I was looking to see if it was still up there, like, she's going to be one of those women that, like, is going to look really good in her 40s. You know what I mean? Like she's just going to... She's just got that, like, handsome...
Sure.
Regalness to her, and you can see, like, as she's kind of aging herself, like oh, you're going to look good at that age.
Well, and how long did she do the whole androgyny kind of thing? Yeah. And now it's, I think she's almost on the other end of the spectrum.
There's a lot of people that I think grow into their looks, and, like, all of a sudden at 40, you're like, oh, you're kind of attractive.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I get it now. I see it.
Yeah, she is very cool. Did you watch the whole thing then? The game?
Oh, yeah, we watched every minute. Yeah.
Boring. So did I... I'm utterly annoyed.
Except for Denver's defense, no one else showed up to play.
Denver's defense was amazing.
Clayton's mom and I were like, just throw in the cheerleaders. Give it a shot. Like, they can't be worse.
Right. Oh, no.
Than Denver's offense or Carolina's whole team. Or
I really thought that the defense was fantastic. Now, that was fun to watch.
Well, again, but they were playing against what felt like homeless people that they brought in to get the shit kicked out of them.
Yeah, but it was interesting. The homeless people that they brought in to get the shit kicked out of them had been really kind of running their mouths
for
a while beforehand. And then, too, at the end, they were pointing out one gentleman, I think his last name was Harris, and this irritated the shit out of me because he was in tears at the end of it. Like, you could tell, just defeated and frustrated. And it was almost like it's been all over social media, almost like mocking him. And I think you need to fucking leave that alone. What, like, men can't cry or can't get frustrated or feel upset? But at the end, but then we're not going to really address the Cam Newton stuff as much. Like, people have.
Well, they did, and then and as I said to him, he's young, Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. He's had a spectacular start to his career.
And a spectacular year.
He's not really used to losing anything at all, and then to lose, like, huge at your first time losing. I'm like,
well, and apparently the people were right next, like, 8 feet away or 10 feet away or something that were for the Broncos, and they were talking shit about Cam's play.
Yeah.
And so he could, like, hear that, but still.
And he did suck.
Big time.
Yeah.
Huge. Well, when he went,
even
like,
I, who doesn't follow sports, realized that.
When he did this away from the ball, like, what the fuck was that? When they fumbled the ball, was like, oh, I don't want to break a nail.
No, and he actually said he was afraid of getting hurt, that he kind of waited out, like.
Like, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Like, I could get hurt in that situation. You know, they slide. Sure. They have to make that calculation, mm-hmm. like, me hurt doesn't do anybody any good, and that's a lost cause.
That's a good point. That's fair.
I mean, I honestly thought, like, this is a 20, what did we say, he was 26, 27? Oh, we have the same birthday. He's, like, 26, 27 years old. And
Cam Newton?
Mm-hmm. Cam Newton.
Oh, I thought he was younger than that.
And, like, this kid has really never lost at anything. So, like, I think maybe they should have done a little, maybe, let's watch some people lose on TV and see how you handle that.
Well, and his response today was, if you want to, he addressed him walking off the stage and just, like, the press conference. And he said, if you show me a good loser, not a sore loser, I think he said, I'll show you a loser. And I thought,
yeah, then he killed himself.
Jeez, like, it's getting worse. Here's your trouble cam.
A 26-year-old and someone who doesn't look like he's ever lost at anything. Like, I'm thinking this kid's
And I'm not going to lie. When they played the Cardinals, I think winning whatever the team was, had it been the Vikings, I would have still been pissed. Don't keep upping the score. Don't.
Oh, that he just kept reveling in it.
Yeah.
Speaking
of your lovely Vikes, question for you. You know, at the early part, well, actually, you may not have seen it because you said it wasn't recorded, the early part.
Yeah.
Pre-game, when they were running on the field, they did all 50 years of all the MVPs from each game, and some were on oxygen, some were via satellite, all that. Was there anybody from the Vikes in that lineup?
Because no, they've never won
there
the Super
should
Bowl.
Never been. Okay, no, we've never won one. We've been to four.
Okay, because I kept listening. I'm thinking, did I just miss it?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why would Marnie be so excited about a team that doesn't have it? That's exactly what I was thinking. So I didn't realize that.
They went to four Super Bowls, lost all four Super Bowls.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Same with Buffalo.
Oh, yeah,
ours were in a row, though. We did ours at a stretch.
Yeah. We did ours in the 70s.
Oh.
60, maybe late 60s, 70s.
Okay.
70s, yeah.
So you fight for the underdog all over.
All the time. I'm also a Cubs fan.
I like the Detroit Lions because I like to watch people lose. I could have given Cam the whole thing on gracious losing.
Maybe
I should message him.
We could pat him on the back and say, you'll be fine.
Oh,
you'll be.
He's
going to pat him somewhere else. But
yeah, because in 13 years, he'll be the elder statesman, and they'll be talking smack about some other 26-year-old. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting.
It's your first time.
Deion Sanders did a statement about how about his walking off of the press conference, and he's like, not to him, but like he wrote something that says, dude, you are the face of that brand.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't do that.
Yep.
And next year, you know what? He'll be better about it.
Well, yeah, because somebody.
And now he's faced huge nationwide
ridicule.
100 million people defeat. Yeah. Okay, you got a little humility under your belt.
Yeah.
And all the kids. I mean, I think.
And you'll appreciate winning a little bit more now because now you've seen the dark underbelly of.
And I don't know what you guys were just talking about, but I agree, like, with what mom and you guys were saying while we were watching the game. She's like, I think this team started partying yesterday. Like,
oh, I did too.
They
yeah.
were very like
lethargic.
Oh, it was yeah. lazy. It was, yeah. it was lazy.
Very yeah. much so.
Oh, absolutely.
There was one point, and I kept yelling, I'm like, the play clock. Yeah. For the love of Jesus, I can't be the only person in the world that can see that fucking play clock.
Yeah, because it's real big at the other end.
And
for
he was just like, dur, dur. Yeah. I really felt like, are you going to take a nap now?
Yeah, or are you taking a nap? Yeah. You know what happened? Yeah.
So. I was leaving now.
It was good to see you.
Bye, Alfie.
Bye. Oh. Yeah. So, how about you? What's been going on?
Obviously, that dealing with some antique truck issues. You know, I have my Dodge.
I saw
you saw the
that
Dodge.
I wondered.
She's moved over because mm-hmm. I have. For those of you that don't know, and if you do, I'm surprised how you know.
I inherited
when my mom's father passed away. He owned a 1961 Dodge truck, and I inherited it upon his passing.
Fantastic.
And then drove it out here from Missouri over a course of a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's got there's something up with the brakes, so I have to work on that. It's a fifth, what is it, 61, mm-hmm. It's old.
Yeah.
It's almost 55 yeah. years old, is that right? Yeah,
I was told there'd be no math.
Yeah, sure, mm-hmm. but it's an older truck, and it's gonna need some maintenance.
That seems right, though.
I'm just sitting. I got futz with
how
that.
How with it having been in Al's
garage,
for lack of a better. How did you know it had bad brakes? Do you just take it?
Oh
out
no,
on
no,
Sundays?
It's
been, like what?
I don't. Oh how do you no, know? Have you not realized that it's been sitting across the street for a year?
No.
Oh yeah,
not a year. I take it back. 6 months. Six, 8 months.
And it was yeah. parked in my garage for
I
years.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it was in his garage
that's
for
why
3 years.
How did you know that no, it had bad brakes?
No, so it was actually, and oddly, we had a discussion about this because it's astounding what, again, if you don't pay attention, you miss a lot. And I didn't realize all that I was missing. Back in the old days, and literally like probably what, 70s, 80s, you know, when gasoline was in its in its natural state.
Infancy. However,
right. When you had regular and then you had right. unleaded and all that other mm-hmm. stuff, it was just different. Well, now with all of this ethanol blending, yep. Which is part of the Iowa subsidies for the corn farmers and all this mm-hmm. shit, they blend it in with gasoline. Ethanol's horrible.
Right.
Absolutely horrible for engines
sure.
and fuel systems and all that stuff. Well, what happens is because it's ethanol, it goes bad very quickly. It used to be years ago, gas could sit in a truck for mm-hmm. months on end and everything would be fine. Mm-hmm. Well, it goes bad very quickly now. If you don't use it, it goes bad and it gums up things and it causes problems, so on and so on and so on. Okay. Well, there is an additive you can add to it that will stabilize the gas mm-hmm. and does better for you. Anyway, when his garage, because I didn't see it, but once every 6 months when I would go over there, he realized that the bad gas smell had come out. So I got it out of there, brought it over here to work on it, get all the gas out, mm-hmm. redo the fuel tank. Well, it sat across the street, and all of a sudden, for some reason, a brake locked up. So okay. who knows? There's so many things with an old yeah. truck. Kind of like an yeah. old body.
Yeah.
So
sometimes, and especially if it just sits for, like right. an old body.
Right.
yeah. It's
so got that, and then it's just, it's been beautiful weather, so having the doors, windows open and enjoying that. I went on a bike ride to lunch with him. And right now we're in for the techie part of this whole thing is when Microsoft and Windows, they are clamping down really hard on older versions. Like they've just decided, fuck everybody. We're going to just take it all down. And I'm dealing with a lot of updates that are happening with customers and issues. So we are having to really start plowing through upgrades to Windows 10 and new equipment and some changes. So that's kind of been an interesting thing because I never know who's going to get updated when. And,
oh, right.
And there's people that have been kind of hanging on to computers for a little, you know, they kind of lasted. Mm-hmm. And I think people are starting to realize, like, oh, it's been 8 years, 9 years.
But funny thing is the logic, like, nobody blinks about changing out their phone every year to 2 years. Nobody blinks about it, really.
Right.
Oh, but my God, you've had a computer system that makes you money and rings in all of your stuff. You've had it for 6, 7, 8 years. Sure. Wasn't it supposed to last forever? No, it's a computer.
But when you buy it, it's hard to take that, you know, so it's the latest technology. It's the greatest thing that's ever been. It'll mm-hmm. change your whole life. You don't, like, it's very hard to hear 5 minutes later as you're walking out the door that, oh, and something new just came out.
No, wait, like, how's your Laserdisc player doing?
Right, exactly. Like, but it's not even that kind of evolution of time now that everything
it's so much
changes.
Faster
it
than
literally
that.
Is with the door, something new, like.
It's coming out next week.
So if, at some point you just become deaf to it and be like, I'm just going to keep believing this thing works until Dell sends me the letter saying.
And you can't, because all of a sudden, you know, Microsoft doesn't update stuff. Mm-hmm. You're not in security compliance. Then all of a sudden this doesn't work. That doesn't work. There's so many crazy things. What, I'm not even.
Wow.
Fuck you, Anant.
It would be weird for me.
Oh, but Amina's enjoying it. Thank you.
There you go.
It would be weird for me.
What is it? Weird to fantasize about what? Me working on a truck? I've been doing it my entire life.
Well, now he's got something in the spank bank.
Oh, that's funny. By the way, that'd be a mechanophile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So oh.
Just saying.
That's that.
Oh.
Just
oh.
saying.
Thank you.
I thought it was one of your head sex with a car story.
It is. Oh. A mechanophile.
Mechanophile. Those are the, yes, that's exactly what that is.
I'm telling you.
So, yeah.
Hi. So. Well, yeah. So, otherwise, just kind of a weird, slow week. I mean.
Yeah, but we've managed to kill 47 minutes talking about a weird, slow week.
Football,
although,
though.
But yeah. A lot of
football. A lot of football and politics. God knows that. And now football's over, so.
And I love it when I have to, like, research why I'm offended. I'm like, oh, hold on. Let me look. Why am I worked up about that?
I took a poll kind of thing.
Oh, congratulations.
Shut up. When I took one of these, you know, where do you fall politically, blah, blah, blah. And there were questions that it was asking. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that means. So I did have to do a lot of research. I appreciated that because I really thought that I had a basic understanding. Nope. So there were certain things going through and really reading them. And Erin had sent me her results. And for those of you that are familiar with my partner, Ernie is kind of swimming in the Pacific Ocean. She's a little left of center. And so she had sent me her results. And she said, take this quiz and let me know like where you land. And I looked at my results. And my jaw dropped and I freaked out and I thought, oh, Jesus Christ, I can never let her know that I'm further left than she is. Here was the problem. Thank God. I was looking at her results. Oh. Instead, I got them. Oh. I got them confused. Oh, because I was that, like, what the hell?
Where's that test?
I can send it.
Can you send it to?
Yeah. It's all over Facebook.
Send it to me. That'd be fantastic.
Absolutely. But
I took
really
the one about
was.
Which candidate. Do you agree with politically?
Yeah,
and I was
that
like,
was the one.
I was like 99% Hillary, 97%
that's
Bernie.
That's the same
like,
one, oh. I think. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's one out there now, like, how liberal are you? And it kind of gives you, like, the spectrum. I mean, it's not a huge
shocker. Yeah, but I'll send those two.
Oh, I'd love it. That'd be fun to take.
I'm lefty McLeftist. Stein.
Amina and Anant, I will show you a picture I just found online. When my truck was brand new and my grandfather first bought it, it looked like that. That's the video or the picture of it. And when it's restored, it will again look back like that someday. So I don't know if they're. Oh, yeah, that's the color it's supposed to be, Alfie.
I know,
it is.
Like, that's not
that's
what
it's very different.
It but, is. Yeah, right now, it's very different than that.
It's a great truck, though.
It feels like such fashion police. You know, it didn't look like that in person.
I don't think it did. It looks slimmer.
looks slimmer.
Looks slimmer. I like it.
Well, now that fashion police is back, it is kind of funny to watch something. Like when I've seen it, when I watched it on the red carpet in like the daylight.
Mm hmm.
You know, it's daylight there when they're doing the red carpets most of the time. And then you see it on Fashion Police the next day, and it's a still photograph with, like, some kind of, like, lens on it that... And you're like, oh, that's not the same color. Like, if they didn't...
Is the dress black or blue? Or is it,
well, you know what I mean? No, like,
that's such a strange thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's still this one
yeah,
of the
that,
stranger
I still
things
don't understand
ever.
That voodoo. But,
no, I don't
But
either.
It's along the same lines. Like, it's shot from one side, it looks this way, and you see it, like you said, on something else, and it's completely different.
Right. Or they stood in the shade, and the color wasn't in vibrant, because sometimes I'm like, oh, that's not what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you'll hear them say, like, in person this looked good, which I can't even imagine. I'm going by high-def TV. They're seeing it actually there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, okay.
I thought it was kind of shitty.
So you never know.
Well, I think that truck looked awesome.
It did, and it will eventually look that awesome again someday. Are you in a state of what you don't look like you're...
No, I'm fine. Yes, I'm good.
So, well, we've managed, with the three of us, to do 51 minutes without a break.
Yes,
so.
No, I'm good. I just don't have any of the... Like little blurbs, like how I would say it. So, but it's absolutely fine.
You think you'll be able to get?
I can stretch through. Yeah.
Well, you're going to have just a second here to figure it out. We'll be back with more right after this. Okay, so that technically is a technical. I don't know what happened there. Ah, shit. We're not doing that. We're not starting with that. Yeah, see, same. So wait a minute. I have to do this.
Let's not change the sign, kids.
No, I'm never going to change the sign. It's better just to leave the sign where it is, for crying out loud, in a bucket. Where's what I want? This and this and, oh, Jesus Christ. This is so much fun.
What are you doing?
I have no idea what's happening.
I had built a break and then I played it wrong. So that's
so
what
this
I'm
doing. This is the break.
No, it's not the break. It's this, and then I have to do this one, and then... These things, it's very technical how this all works.
Apparently. Are you still turned on, Anant?
Yeah. Yeah. How you like it now? How you like it now?
All How's right. that working out for you?
Let's see if we can do it this time. We'll try it again like this.
Carl. You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
Well, the squirrels are back in the attic. Your dad won't call an exterminator. He says it's personal this time. Where are you? It's very loud there. Are you taking a Zumba class?
This is the Hugh Talk America Radio Network.
Okay, now it's time for that to play. Let's see if we can make magic on this one. It's February 9th, 2016, show 248, and these are headlines. I want a Kit Kat, and I want it now.
I want to discuss odious cunts.
Whatever your name is, you're under arrest.
37 years of rotten cheating.
What do you mean she's not dead yet?
Nugent and the Jews.
Michigan has its priorities in order.
Jillian Anderson, fuck, marry, kill.
And Valentine's cards for those with commitment issues. These and more things we're going to discuss coming up right here on Q Talk America. Oh,
sorry.
Al, it's all right. You got cough drops and wine. You going to make it?
Mm-hmm.
God. I'm sipping on this. The coffee helps. A couple cough drops here. Mm-hmm. So many things.
I like all it. Right.
Excuse me while I take a sanctioned Molly Montgomery sip of coffee here.
It's good for her to sanction.
I've been sucking on a hard candy all night like a grandfather.
I wasn't ready for
that. If I had a Kleenex up my sleeve, the picture would be complete.
Oh, and glasses on a chain around
that's
your neck?
Right, yeah. Right. Let me get you a Werther's.
Talk to you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I enjoy
By the way, I love Werther's.
I enjoy
yeah,
a Werther's.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to be happy being that old lady.
Actually, I just wondered. I wonder if they make coffee flavoring, coffee creamers with a Werther's. Mm. I have to look.
Good call. They do not.
Some people consider the surprise of biting into a waferless Kit Kat to be a rare treat, but one woman is threatening legal action over a pack of the chocolate bars, all missing their signature wafers. Yeah. Samia Ahmad, who's a 20-year-old law student from London, is demanding Nestle compensate her with a lifetime supply of Kit Kats over the error or face her in court. The King's College London undergraduate from Enfield is claiming, quote, monetary and emotional loss over the incident and has tackled the confectionery giant with a letter quoting case law from the 1930s to back up her demand. Quote, she says, they go about advertising the unique concept of Kit Kat, but I'm so disappointed by what I have purchased, she said. Ahmad bought a multi-pack of 8 Kit Kats from her local supermarket for £2. I don't know what that is, how that equates, last month. But
it's like a couple dollars to a pound.
Okay. So,
I usually figure just double it.
Well, and the Kit Kats like were lighter because they didn't have the wafers.
But she was not impressed when she bit into the solid blocks of chocolate. But the chocolate's still good. Clearly, if I wanted to purchase a confectionery item that was purely chocolate, I would have purchased a bar of Galaxy, which I guess is a London candy bar, I guess. I wouldn't
it's
rule out
all chocolate. No
I wouldn't.
Wafer.
I wouldn't rule out.
One so. Assumes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't rule out taking this further action. Taking this further action, if Nestle does not apologize or compensate me adequately, she says a lifetime supply of snacks will do. Ahmad has, has researched similar instances of waferless Kit Kats online. Apparently, this is not the first time it's ever happened. There are quite a few forums online where people complain of having Kit Kats without wafers. I've never heard of this, actually. The student admitted she is, quote, trying her luck, adding, if you don't ask, you don't get. At press time...
You just don't get.
This is those microaggressions. No. Like, really? I think I want to try and make my life's fortune suing
Kit Kat
candy bar that did not harm me in any way.
Right. At press time, Nestle had not yet commented on the matter.
Well, now you don't know if it didn't affect her. I mean, what if it were...
This is the first time she's ever lost at anything, and it's in a national spotlight.
It was just the Cam Newton of Kit Kat.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes, well done. But I'm
just like, you've got a chocolate bar. Shut the fuck up.
It was a traumatic time for her.
Are the teeth new? Is this the first time something's crunched in your mouth?
Maybe. You don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know her pain.
Maybe she had just, she had never had chocolate ever, and she...
Well, now she's got chocolate out of it.
Is the wafer the new part? Maybe she's not Catholic?
Maybe she had heard.
No, she's not. She, I don't recall. I believe she's actually Muslim, I believe, based on the picture that I saw of her.
Okay.
Well, stereotypical over here.
We usually go for the Chinese people, but I guess we'll try new ones.
Who have we offended? Hey, I don't have... Oh, yeah, I do.
You got a bell.
There we go. Let's take a look about... Let's discuss odious cunts. Because I just appreciated that. So that's why I'm going to read the article, because it made me laugh.
Odious cunt.
Experts predict that by 2020, only arseholes will be left. Arseholes. I do appreciate that.
Oh, you lovely arsehole you got there. Look at it.
With much-loved musicians, actors, and TV personalities dying off with increasing regularity, experts have predicted that by 2020, our screens, radios, and newspapers will be inhabited entirely by odious cunts.
It's possible.
I do appreciate that. David Bowie, dead. Alan Rickman, dead. Terry Wogan, dead. Rupert Murdoch, getting married. Lamented expert in arsehole longevity.
That is true, and he'll have a kid. You know what I mean? Those fuckers always find a way to breed.
Seriously. It doesn't seem fair that artists who've inspired creativity in millions of people and brought joy to the lives of millions more are no longer with us. Yet Richard Littlejohn feels absolutely fine. I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
Lemmy?
But Robert Murdoch married somebody surprising, or is about to marry
somebody.
It was
Mick Jagger's.
Is it Bianca Jagger?
Yeah, I thought that's what it was. Not having a kid.
Not Jerry Hall. Yeah.
No, you're right. Because
that'd
be like two miracles.
I sent you Robert Ailes.
Was it Robert? Because I sent you a link about that. He was marrying
Roger Ailes or Robert Murdoch. I can't remember.
Roger Ailes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this person goes on and on about the different Glenn Frey dead, et cetera, and it says Phil Collins making a comeback. I don't think I need to go on.
Yeah.
So I thought it was very cute, and I just like the term odious cunts.
Yeah, my favorite.
So I might keep that.
My favorite moment in a car with my friend. Remember when Phil Collins didn't suck? No, Al, I don't. I'm like, oh, you're young.
I don't mind. There was a time.
There was a time.
Yeah.
All too briefly, sadly.
Some great Genesis music came out of there.
Oh, yeah. We're including Genesis.
Oh, absolutely.
I would have.
His reign is long, then, if we...
Yeah.
That, okay. And then, really, the only one I like is...
Sioux City.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no. Not Susu on your studio. No.
You can't just make up words, Phil.
No.
Why am I blanking? I just heard the song yesterday.
Can't hear
it. Take a look at me now. I always love that.
From Against All Odds.
Rachel Ward was in that movie?
Rachel Ward, yep.
you ever get a chance to see my college ID picture from Buff State, it just looks like Rachel Ward.
Oh.
It's just Rachel Ward. Clearly, I was in... I always tell people that I kind of looked like one of the girls from Human League, and then I saw that picture, and I'm like... Nope, it's Rachel Ward.
When you started that little that if you see my where I thought you were going is my one woman show. I actually do an ode to Phil Collins. I thought that's where you were going with this.
My one woman show, Rachel Ward. Yes, I was.
Take a look at me then.
Take a look. Oh, it's hysterical.
Tomorrow, please look at me. Just look at me.
It's in a drawer with different old IDs and stuff. And every time I pop open that drawer to get my checkbook or something, that thing, sometimes it'll slide left and that card will fly out. And I'll be like, oh, Rachel.
Look at me.
He has his own little moment there.
Androgyny gone just way too far.
I want to see that. We'll look at that on Oscar night.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't post it because of my, I can't figure out. I got to block out the signature. Right. Like my, it's a signed ID.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. I don't know why anybody would want
to. We can figure that out.
We can Photoshop it easily. I can do that for you.
Yeah.
All right, kids.
I can't read my signature. Just sign whatever you want.
You've burned through hour one. We've got two more coming at you. Providing the voices hold up. We're not sure. Al and I are sucking on cough drops. I'm drinking coffee. We'll get through it. Marnie may do a one-woman show before this is all over.
We don't know. We don't know.
We don't know. The results are still coming in from New Hampshire. We'll keep you updated on that because everybody cares. And if you don't, well, listen to somebody else. We'll be right back. We've got hour two, The Drinking Word, coming up in just moments. Stay with us.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio.
Oh, my Clayton heavens. McKee. Sakes alive. Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's the top of hour two. Welcome. I'm sitting in studio with Al Perkins and Marnie Ryer. Kat Carlson is under the weather, but listening. She's listening. So
she's planted firmly on the
If you're in the chat room, send her a message. She was in the chat room earlier, but her NyQuil might have kicked in. We don't know.
She found something entertaining well to do.
Huh?
Wait, your mom?
No. Kat.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
But mom's drinking wine, so we may have lost her, too. Right. She's told me before that she often doesn't make it through the whole show, and she listens the next day.
Nice.
That's nice of her.
That is nice.
Yes. So, anywho. But as we do at the beginning of each and every hour, too, it is time for what we call the drinking disclaimer, and it goes a little something like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
I got nothing. Bazinga. We'll go with that.
Bazinga.
Bazinga?
Yeah, I watched a lot of Big Bang Theory this week, too.
Bazinga.
Bazinga. Okay.
Bazinga.
Bazinga.
Mm. Waiting for the bazinga. I was up when they say that to him whenever he says something like an asshole. You're like, oh, I was waiting for the bazinga.
I have not watched it.
Sorry.
It's a cute show. It's good when you're not feeling well to just throw it on.
I mean, I've seen it in the past. I've just never heard this bazinga thing.
It's funny that that's the word you chose based on the next story that I have.
Wow.
As timely as you can possibly be. A man whose legal name is Bizao Dudu Zoppity Bop 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 was arrested over the weekend after officials say he assaulted a state college police officer and deputy in Washington. In case you're wondering, there is his arrest picture.
Jesus.
Oh my God, yeah.
The Olympian reported that it all started when an officer spotted Zoppity Bop 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 tearing down the flyers on the Evergreen State College campus on Sunday. Zoppity Bop 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 reportedly took off running, so the officer chased him, took him down to the ground, and then a struggle ensued. During the struggle, Zoppity Bop 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 allegedly grabbed the officer's gun and then bit the officer's ring finger several times. Officials say he also tried to stab the officer with an ink pen. Thurston County Sheriff's Office records later showed that Zoppity Bop 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 was arrested and charged with one count of each first-degree assault, third-degree malicious mischief.
Oh.
Also,
third-degree malicious mischief in the third degree.
But there was
Does that mean like somebody else did it, but he used his name or something?
Well, in the second degree.
But there was also malicious.
Bop, 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 not me.
There was also malicious harassment.
Oh, that's a new one.
I don't know about that one. Fox 23 News reports that prosecutor Mark Thompson was unable to verify Zoppity Bop Bop Bop's legal name, so he deferred to his original name, Jeffrey Drew Wilschke.
Sounds more realistic. Apparently, slightly.
Apparently, Wilschke legally changed his name to Bizao Dudu Zoppity Bop 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 back in 2011. This arrest reportedly isn't the first time the name, since his name changed. He's Zippity Bop 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 was said to have been behind bars Wednesday morning with a $50,000 bail and an arraignment set for
and
February.
Legally changed to that.
Yes, he legally changed it to that.
Like, there's a judge that stood there and said, okay.
I'll allow it.
And you know that judge was, like, still waiting for his coffee to have been there and been like, oh, fuck it, just go.
Right, I'm done with this.
You can
the bailiff's still not back with my latte. I can't. Yeah. I can't listen to you say that one more fucking time. Get out. Get out.
That's nuts.
Run.
So, what's the word? What's the drinking word?
Bazinga.
Bazinga. Yeah, that's right.
Bazinga, bop, bop, bop.
I can just picture the judge. Oh, fucking Zinga. Get out.
And why would you choose that? I'm sure
you're an
just
asshole.
For this. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just simple reason. Assholery.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is not going to go well.
What happens? What's going on? What are you doing?
This is just not going to. I thought that I was fine.
No, you're going to be fine.
Oh, what's it? Oh god, banana. What was Phoebe going to change her name to?
On Friends?
Banana Boat. Her name was
I don't remember.
Princess something Banana Boat.
I don't know. I can look at
when she found out she was gonna change her name when she got married.
Okay,
and I don't think it was Regina.
I'll look it up.
Regina Falange, because that's what she was used to tell people her name was. But when she got married and she found, you know, she just went to change her last name and they told her she could change anything she wanted to, and then she started getting crazy. Banana hammock. That's what it was.
Princess Consuela banana hammock.
One of the best ever is Anastasia Beaverhausen.
I guess Mike, who was her love interest, Mike is not too happy about this, so he decides to retaliate by changing his name to Crap Bag.
Yeah, because she doesn't realize what a banana hammock is.
Oh my god, that's so Phoebe.
And it's only when he explains banana hammock to her that she's like,
I see. Right. Well, after 37 years of rotten cheating.
Rotten cheating?
Rotten cheating.
Is there a good cheating?
Well, he's rotten. It folds into the story.
Okay, got it.
After 37 years of marriage.
Let's sit over here.
The husband dumps his wife for a secretary. What she does when he demands the family home is priceless. So 37 years of marriage weren't important for Jake when he decided to leave his wife for his young secretary. His new love partner wanted to live in his and Edith's home, which is more than $1 million worth of a house.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Who the fuck is she, by the way? His lawyers won the lawsuit, and Jake was free to live in the house with his lover. Edith, the wife who had been jilted.
Cuckolded, if you will.
Cuckolded. Edith had 3 days to leave the house. That's pretty fast after you've been, you know.
Yeah, 39 years there.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Odious cunt. Bazinga.
Okay, didn't you?
On the first day, she packed her stuff up into boxes and crates and suitcases. The second day, the movers came to get her things. And on the third day, Edith decided to sit down in the dining room for the last time. She had a meal of a pound of shrimp, a jar of caviar, and a bottle of Chardonnay. I kind of thought she was remiss in a bottle. Maybe she should have had more. But that's me.
Okay.
When she was done with her lunch, she went into each and every room and placed half-eaten shrimp shells soaked in caviar into the hollow of all of the curtain rods.
Mmm.
Wasn't this a TV show? Didn't somebody do this?
No, we've talked about a story similar to this within the past 4 years. Remember? Yes. No. Go ahead. Continue. I do recall.
Yeah. What's
something.
The dateline on this? Because I feel like it's also the opening thing of
January 30, 2016.
Wow.
Yeah. I just.
So it's a copycat. Continue on.
Yeah. It's a copycat crime. Bazinga.
Let's see.
Bazinga.
Bazinga. Bazinga. So she put those in the hollow of all the curtain rods. Then she went back into the kitchen, cleaned it, and left the house. Then her husband and new lover moved in, and everything was great in the first several days. Then a strange and disgusting smell began to spread throughout
the
house.
Fish crime, yeah.
It was unbearable. So they tried to clean the house and air it out. They ensured that there weren't any, you know, rodents that had died, and they washed all the carpets. They had air fresheners everywhere. They even brought in exterminators to set off gas canisters, like do something. They had to move out from the house for several days. They also replaced the wool carpeting, which was pretty expensive, but the smell was still there, and it was just getting worse. Their friends stopped coming by, and even their repairman couldn't work in the house anymore. The maid was also gone. They were forced to move out of the house because the smell was just too strong. House was for sale, but nobody wanted to buy it.
Oh, my gosh.
So the million-dollar house, the price was cut in half. Still nobody wanted to buy it.
Cut in half.
Yeah.
Wow.
Their story spread around the city very quickly, and even their local realtors said, we're not going to return their calls because we're not going there. So they were forced to take a huge loan from the bank to buy a new house. Edith called her ex-man to ask him how things were working out for him. You know, how are things there, stud? He told her about his problems within the house. She listened like she just didn't know anything. Told him that she misses the house so bad and she would decrease her divorce settlement in exchange for taking the house back. He was thinking that the fortune had smiled upon him, and he agreed to give her the house for a price around 1/10 of the overall worth.
Wow.
He had only one condition. She needed to sign the papers that day.
She smelled it.
She agreed, and the job was done within the hour. 1 week later, the two lovers were satisfied while watching their movers packing their things and taking them into their new house, including the curtain rods.
Oh, that's...
Oh!
Oh, my God, I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that cheating will bite you in the ass. That's a rotten cheating.
I swear to God, this is a plot of a TV show.
Oh, it sure could be. I don't know.
Oh, it sure could be. But we did a story. It's been 2-3 years ago. Okay. We did a story on this. Same thing. The person had... And I don't remember if it was hollow curtain rods or exactly where it was, or if it was in the walls of the house, something like that, okay. Where it was half-eaten food or something, and it caused
something rotting.
Yeah, I do recall this.
What a satisfying conclusion!
Oh my God, I thought that was so satisfying.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought she just got the house back,
like a Kit Kat bar if it had a wafer in it.
Very similar,
if only.
Bazinga!
Yeah. Bazinga!
Yeah, but I thought that was fantastic.
Well, we had. As I've talked about 1,000 times, to get the car, to have the car at my disposal, I had to do the grocery shopping for my family, and I had to take my grandmother grocery shopping every Thursday on payday, mm-hmm. and when she would get her Social Security check, and so I would do the grocery shopping for my family, she would do it for her and her husband, my grandfather, and weeks passed. And there were, our car, there was just a smell from our car. My mom was cleaning it out. She was looking for stuff. We couldn't figure it out.
Oh.
And because we always went to the butcher shop to get, fresh meat. It was back in those days where you still went to a separate butcher. A steak or two steaks or something wrapped in paper had gone, in an old Delta 88 where the trunk could hold, three bodies comfortably.
Sure.
You could be a mass murderer mm-hmm. and fit them in your trunk without any real cramping.
Sure.
Well, the steak had gone down into the tire well, underneath where no one could see it, and my mom finally had to take the car to be detailed. And the guy showed it to her because part of the detailing, I guess, is something to do with the making sure the spare tire. But we had never taken up that much of that Delta 88 to. Oh my God! And it was weeks of the summer in New York of
summer humidity,
and you would open the door and be like, I can't get in there.
Yeah.
No,
it's bad.
I couldn't handle that. At all.
And I lived with somebody who spilled milk once and not thinking,
awful.
Wiped up the milk, mm-hmm. cleaned it up, but then left the top, the rags that they cleaned with on top of the dryer. Mm-hmm. So the milk went sour in the towels.
And whenever you
it mixed with the pine cell that they cleaned it with. Oh yeah, we almost had to move. That was, that took forever.
Terrible.
Oh my God.
That's just terrible. Terrible.
So, I know, Jenny, that does sound like a horror story you would tell around a campfire.
It does.
And then she watched them walk out of
and
the
I,
house.
And I appreciate, why does this sound like a Bible story?
Oh, I thought,
or a Bible chapter. I mean,
and then the Delta 88 went to the detail shop.
Yeah.
Upon removal of the spare tire, there it was.
The meat.
The meat wrapped in paper.
And I mean, thank God there weren't maggots or anything. Because there probably had been. Fucking mind. Yeah, there probably were. My mom probably just didn't tell me that part. She would often have been. Yeah, she would often edit the things that would give me nightmares out of stories as she told them to me.
Oh, yeah.
The famous mouse in the basement that no one told me about. They just let me think they gas lamped me for 3 fucking weeks. Does anybody else hear that in the walls? No. I don't hear anything. And I'm like, oh my God, it's scratching or something. They were afraid if they told me that we had mice in the basement that I would just move. And it was all the time.
Stop doing that.
And they were, oh my God, they were everywhere. It was so gross.
Oh
God.
And they were in the ceiling, in the basement.
They were looking for that meat in that Delta 88.
Couldn't get outside to get it.
Scares me so much.
Oh, it did.
Oh. I don't handle that.
Oh, continuing on with our death theme. Noella Rotondo had been with her husband.
Smelly old meat. Still turned on a nap?
Yeah.
Still sporting wood?
How you feel now? Anywho, Noella Rotondo had been with her husband, Belega, for 11 years when last year she flew home, or excuse me, she flew from their home in Melbourne, Australia to her native, is it Burundi?
Yeah, Burundi.
Burundi, for her stepmother's funeral. Now, while there, Kalala, who her husband, ordered a gang member to have her killed. They abducted her, told her what they had been hired to do, and Rotondo even heard her husband's voice on a speakerphone, on a recorded speakerphone, telling them to kill her, the Australian Broadcasting Company reports. Now, the gang members decided not to murder her because they knew her brother, and they didn't believe in killing women, and they kept Kalala's money and told him that the job was done. She's dead. She was able to get back home, where on February 22nd, 2015, she walked up to her husband at her own funeral.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He had told everyone that she died.
Bazinga, yeah. She said.
He had told everyone that she died in Burundi. And he's like, he says, is this a ghost? The scared man who has since been sentenced to 9 years for incitement to murder, per ABC, asked, is this a ghost? Rotondo tells the BBC her husband touched her on the shoulder to make sure she was real. Then he began screaming.
Yeah, oh, can you imagine?
He apologized, but she had already called police. And though Kalala first denied that he had anything to do with Rotondo's ordeal, she ultimately got him to confess while police secretly recorded one of their phone calls. His explanation to her, he thought she was going to leave him for someone else. Quote, sometimes devil can come into someone to do something, but after they do it, they start thinking, why I did that thing later. That's an odd quote. She reportedly said the couple has three
children. How many languages did that go through before it landed in English?
No.
Yeah,
I didn't even transcribe
the same
this.
Same thing like, with this thing. Yeah, like, I was like, what?
The couple has three children together, and Rotondo also has five from a previous relationship. She was busy. Since her ordeal, she said her ordeal.
She was running up to Burundi with all that going on? Jesus.
She says some members of Melbourne's Congolese community have threatened her for reporting Kalala, who was originally from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Formerly Zaire, I believe.
That sounds right.
If memory serves.
I do Zaire. Appreciate that.
But can you, well,
I did read that one. That's so bad. I almost had that
They
one.
Told her she yeah. was dead and gone, and she yeah. walks in.
Oh, and wouldn't you do the same thing? Yeah, oh, I would.
Yeah.
I'd walk in with cops.
Oh, well, or I would have it going over the speaker system.
And how nice that she found some, like, you know, she was kidnapped by her murderer.
Some
should we tell
gang
her?
Members.
Is it better if we tell right. her?
We know her mm-hmm. brother.
Yeah. Should we tell her that she's dating an asshole, or will she hate us later when they get
right,
back together?
Right. Wouldn't that be great?
Tomorrow on The View.
Right. Well, how about those? There's a new band. We'll
oh,
get
a new
together.
Band.
Yeah,
we'd like to start
Nugent
a band.
And the Jews. Band. We'll call Nugent? It Nugent and the Jews.
Okay.
Oh wow, they really get along.
They do very
like
well.
Dykes and Dogs.
Nugent and the Jews.
very musical.
So NRA board member Ted Nugent suggests that Jews are quote behind the gun safety laws. I thought we hadn't heard from this asshat in quite a while.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, really? NRA board member shared a graphic, suggesting that Jews are really behind gun safety laws. The image was previously posted on Stormfront, a very prominent, apparently, American white supremacist website. So he put this on his Facebook page. And February 8th, yesterday,
yeah.
On his Facebook page, Nugent shared an image headline, so who really is behind gun control, with Israeli flags next to the faces of 12 Jewish American politicians and gun violence prevention advocates. Some of the pictures feature descriptions such as Jew York City Mayor Mikey, because apparently if you add like EY to anything like Mikey Bloomberg, Nugent.
Because Bloomberg doesn't get you there.
That doesn't.
Bazinga. Bazinga. Yeah. It's not racial anymore. It's
no,
funny.
Exactly. It's like I'm just being a smartass. he said, "Know these punks. They hate freedom. They hate good over evil. They would deny us the basic human right to self-defense and to keep and bear arms. While many of them have tax-paid, hired armed security. Know them well. Tell everyone you know how evil they are. Let us raise maximum hell to shut them down. And I sat there and I thought, again, this goes back to what I was saying initially with being blown away, no pun intended, I guess, with all of this, but how people are kind of following Trump and that whole blowhard.
And that Ted Nugent hasn't been just shot where he stands.
The fact that people are voting for him when a lot of what he is saying, maybe not to this degree, maybe some of it.
Yeah,
Muslims should come in the country.
Yeah, just pick a different race that he's
Right.
Absolutely. So it really
Trump easy on the Jews. You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to sell that one?
Exactly.
They live in his apartments.
Yeah, go.
And the fact that it was on a white, like a known white supremacist.
Which, I mean, where else are you going to find Ted near recent Ted Nugent news?
You're right. No. This was not on one of those. The picture.
Right.
Nugent has claimed that
These are not two people swimming in the same stream
Nugent has claimed those shot in mass shootings are losers amongst us who fall for the big lie of political correctness and get cut down by murderous maniacs like blind sheep to slaughter. Here's what I heard. Ted Nugent's a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
putting words together and making
you go
like.
When they start blaming the victim thing, you're like, wow, we can really take this to like absurd extremes.
It's their own fault.
And like, and not just that, but like him trying to use all of those words and like making people go, yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Because really, that's what it is.
Was it Nugent that said that the Jews don't like freedom? Were those his words?
I mean, that could be any one of the hundreds of things.
Know these punks, they hate freedom.
Okay, they hate freedom.
They hate good over evil.
Pretty sure that the ancestors of the people in the prison camps are pretty on
freedom.
Pro freedom.
Yeah.
I like to be able to walk around the camp on my own without restriction of furnace or fence.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Armed guard.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
It holds up to no scrutiny whatsoever. He's just fucking crazy.
No, I agree.
He really is. But
can make Sarah Palin look slightly more rational.
Jesus. And that's
let's go with tame, not rational, maybe. But the idea that people are looking at the parallels, I think, between a Ted Nugent and, to a degree, a Donald Trump, I think
it's a logical you're just taking it to its logical
One just has better, you know, well, it's I don't know. You can't say better conclusion. Hair, really, because both of them have bad hair. But one is just dressed better.
Nugent looks homeless.
Right.
He really does.
I think the politically correct term is Southern.
Well, I do know some people from the South that are not.
We do not mean anything by that.
I have friends that live in Paducah, Kentucky, and Nashville are not to that degree, but
I found that fascinating. She's that this that was bad. Something from yesterday, and then you hear the rants of Donald Trump, and you just go.
And the fact that he called like the supporter called somebody a pussy today, and he or whatever that was,
and he repeated it, and then he goes, "Oh God, I can't. You should never say something like
and then
like pussy."
Yeah,
you know, like
and I like how in all of his things. Well, I just repeated what she said.
Right.
That makes it right.
And he said, "You're a reprimand." Like it's just—he's so fucking stupid.
Speaking,
I just can't wait for this political cycle to be over, so like he can go back to the.
Speaking of the
dangerous, just like I think he's dangerous.
Yeah,
Nugent.
Sure, he's inciting. He's encouraging
riot.
Stupidity. Yeah. Speaking of the comparisons, I almost text you last night, but I thought you might have been asleep. Though usually your phone is off if you're asleep. Did you happen to catch Bill O'Reilly on Colbert?
No, I didn't.
It was enjoyable because.
Oh, I can't watch Bill O'Reilly.
Oh no, but it
my
was
blood begins to boil.
No, because
like
it was just enjoyable to watch because you know Colbert is poking at the Badger there. But when O'Reilly came out and he actually compared Bernie Sanders, he said Bernie Sanders and Trump are the same guy. And the crowd was like, whoa. And he goes, now listen, they're both angry and they're both bringing up deficiencies in the system.
Yeah, I mean, they have a very similar fan base.
And then there was some comeback that Colbert said that was fantastic. But it was very interesting. And then at the end of it, Colbert got a zinger in about...
A bazinga?
He really did get a bazinga in. I wish I had the exact quote right in front of me, but he got, at the very end, he got in a bazinga on him about how he'd played a stupid moderator like him for 10 years.
Papa Bear thing's over.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed that. Oh my gosh.
That's terrible.
I mean, that's what they were finding out today because New Hampshire is so unusual because it's what 40% independent. Like they're the largest of the three groups. So it's one of the few places where that happens. Yeah. And they were the amount of people that were saying that, like, if I can't vote for Trump, I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders was huge. And because it's an open primary, so
right.
if you're independent, you can go to either one. You can't go to both. You can go to one or the other. But if you're a registered Republican, you can only go to Republican. Mm-hmm. But people were saying, the independents were saying, like, oh, I was either going to vote for Sanders or Kasich. Like, wait, what? Like, yeah. those, like, why are you making those two choices? Right. And then somebody was like, well, I was for Carly Fiorina this morning, but I guess I'm going to go for Sanders. And you're like, how did you get from right. that pile to this pile? But it's that whole independent outsider, because people don't know him. So to them, he's some guy that's like new to politics. I mean, that's the kind of the level that people are working at. Like, this is not a political outsider. He's been in the Senate
forever,
for a while. Yeah. Like, this is he's just as in as anybody else's can be in. So it's very strange how that he's playing to these people, that they're going from, like, their choices are so bizarre. That was one of the fascinating parts about the news today. Was,
well, if you listen to Van Jones, Bernie Sanders is a 79,000-year-old.
Who's Van Muppet? Jones? How have I missed it?
He's a political commentator that's on CNN a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Van Jones.
79,000-year-old Muppet-looking socialist.
Yeah,
what
he used to be
him.
For. He was on Obama's first team.
Yeah.
Oh. The campaign team. Very good-looking black guy. Yeah. But he was on SNL this last weekend. I finally watched that.
Bernie was.
Yeah. And Harrison, the 1975, were on too. Very good, very flamboyant lead singer that I was like, I got to Google him at some point. But Bernie did a really funny thing about, they were doing like the Titanic and like the women and children off first. And he showed up in the sketch.
Yeah.
And it was, who plays him? What's his name? Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah.
Larry David.
So Larry David,
I was gonna say David,
was complaining about like calling the children names that were getting, saying they were midgets, check for pubic hair, that they shouldn't be getting on the lifeboat, he should have. And then Bernie Sanders came out and like argued with him about like the rich people wanting all the lifeboats when they're really for the women and children. It really made me like Bernie a little bit more. Yeah. I don't know why, when people go on Saturday Night Live, I just instantly think, well, good for you.
I truly enjoy him.
I always have too. But this was one of those things, because I feel like he's just constantly screaming at me that something else should be free. but it was kind of fun to see him poking at mm-hmm. that, and then how much he and it's kind of like the Sarah Palin,
Larry, Tina Fey yeah.
thing. Oh. How much they look alike and how alike their personalities are. So that, like, and he actually imitated Larry David for a second, and it was really funny. It was just.
I haven't recorded. I haven't watched it.
It's a really good episode. Because Larry David's funny, so he just all ships rise, like the, you know, a rising tide raises all boats, and they all just go up with him.
He was Bernie Sanders and Anderson Cooper during the town hall, when Anderson Cooper said, so, you know, asked him something about Larry David, and you know, what do you think about the impersonation? Do you think? And Sanders just sat there very deadpan and looked at me and said, I am Larry David.
Yeah, I mean,
I remember that.
Really
I
cute.
Saw that.
It was just it, like, because all of a sudden Anderson was like, oh, wait.
And just the last skit of SNL this week was Kate McKinnon and Larry David as the last two patrons in a bar, like two, like, just gross end of the night bar people deciding to hook up. And like the way that they smelled, and like the fact that she's wearing an ace bandage for panties, and you could tell it was completely improv as they're trying to hit on each other. And at one point, Larry David just snorts whatever it is she says. He just snorts into his drink, and you can tell they're just playing off each other. Like, how gross can we be about like what's in her hair and how many teeth she has in her head? And it's fucked up funny.
Okay,
the last skit between the two of them is, and like I said, he's just so. As much as I never cared for Seinfeld, like, I think he's so funny on his own. Like, I don't need him on a TV show or somebody representing him, like, whatever, his David Costanza, whatever, Costanza. What was his name? Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's people pretending Costanza. To be him or that show annoy me, but him on his own, I just think he's so fucking funny. Yeah.
Oh.
And then to have him and Kate McKinnon just working off each other, just trying to outgross each other, being the last people in the bar to hook up, and like, ugh. And there was one line that I was like, oh, that's not good.
That's not good.
Yeah, I got to wash my, it's like bull semen.
Oh, bull semen. That was funny. Bazinga. Bazinga.
Bazinga.
Talk loud.
Well, I'm gonna hold off on this story, because you need to be part of this story if you don't know it already.
I'll do a dance break.
See, he throws this shit at me.
Just figure it out. Do a dance break.
What?
Nothing.
You do? What, do you?
Nothing. Actually, I thought you were already going. We were already in the dance break, and I was telling you something.
We can do
this. How about
that?
And now we dance. Right, yeah, did that very, very in.
Oh, anyway.
But you'll get back to that.
It's a documentary, but yeah, we'll go back to it.
Okay.
Because it was very interesting. Very interesting.
I love documentaries. Documentaries are very interesting.
And Amina, it was just something that made me think of you.
So stay tuned, Amina.
I'd be intrigued to know what you're going to, if you've seen it, whatever. But anyway, that's very vague. Well.
Seriously, what's with Marnie's hair, and Aunt says? What do you mean, what's with Marnie's hair?
What's wrong with my hair? I brought a hat in, Aunt. Should I put it on?
No. What the hell's wrong with your hair? I don't see anything wrong with your hair.
No, I'm concerned.
I don't know. Let's hang on a minute. Oh, I was going to... Where's...
And Aunt's making fun of my hair.
He said you had good hair at the beginning.
Oh. Well, that was nice. Because he just said, what the hell's wrong with their hair? Going on to their... I can't. I'm on this thing. My back.
Well, hang on a minute. We'll just go.
Hi, Nero.
Full screen. There's Marnie. Marnie, look at the. That's a better. I don't see anything wrong with your hair at all.
No, he had said earlier that how good your hair looked. That was like his first comment.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh.
Thank God I came back to help
you
out. God.
I'm very so glad because I was very, just total I was very nervous about what was happening.
There's an excited lesbian on the MSNBC talking about things.
Thanks, I just love her.
Here's the reason I wanted you to be part here for this story. And if you have not heard, I wanted to make sure that you were fully educated on this. We've all been listening to, it's been reported, it's been worldwide with regards to the issues in Flint, Michigan, their water, and I mean, that's no secret at all. Up to 8,000 children in Flint, Michigan have potentially been poisoned by their own water supply, and so the Michigan Senate has bravely come together to push through a bill that bans anal sex.
And oral.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't say that.
It's anal and oral.
Yeah.
The insanity of this move is made even more outrageous by the fact that, one, Michigan already has a sodomy ban, and two, the ban is completely pointless.
Yeah.
The 2003 Supreme Court case of Lawrence versus Texas declared sodomy bans unconstitutional in all states, and they're one of the states, nice. So they don't really get to choose that. So to reiterate, rather than help citizens that are being poisoned by their own water, Michigan senators chose to spend their time and money upholding an already existing sodomy ban that is impossible to enforce.
And that's one of those ones where, like, you know, you got to tell the senator, like, you got to poke and be like, so you can't ask for a blowjob from your wife or the hooker because then you're doing it.
Or the gay guy you're hiring because you're a closeted
Mo.
But
it's just one of those things is because they don't do the whole dance in their head. They're like, I'm in trouble too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I have a wide stance.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
I have a wide stance in the bathroom. Sorry.
But you just watch that thing play out and you like,
now,
drug test the cops.
This is another thing that drives me crazy, and I'm sure for efficiency reasons they do this a lot. The ban was able to pass because it was attached to, bazinga, an animal rights bill mostly aimed at keeping pets out of the hands of animal abusers. Who's not going to pass a bill for that?
And then they tried to do it so that you couldn't fuck a sheep. Like, that's part of the no, honestly, if you read.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just kind of looking like.
The sodomizing the pets was something they were very concerned about.
So, the discriminatory measure.
That story, you're just like, what the fuck?
The discriminatory measure is squeezed inside the section banning bestiality, an asinine suggestion by Michigan senators that two consenting adults having the freedom to be intimate is equitable to sexual abuse of an animal. Now, the language of the bill reads, quote, a person who commits the abominable and detestable crime against nature, either with mankind or with any animal, is guilty of a felony punishable by imprisonment for not more than 15 years. Twitter users seem to have a different idea of what is an abominable or detestable crime. Having not solved the problem of poisoned water in the seventh largest city in Michigan, legislators have made sodomy illegal. Republican Senator Rick Jones, this is another tweet from Slay Queen. Republican Senator Rick Jones tried to explain that to take out the offensive line would sink the bill because apparently Michigan senators hate gay people so much that they would intentionally sabotage a bill primarily aimed at keeping people from pouring battery acid on their dogs.
Isn't that something, though? That and I think that that's where, you know, when so many things get passed, so many different bills, and then when people go against certain bills that seem like they would make absolute fucking sense.
And then you
sense.
Find out what's hidden in there.
Right. Right. Like, oh. All the writers that they put through on that right. shit drives me nuts. I think every, I don't know, was it item line? Like every single thing should just go through on its own.
Yes.
Don't put all this crap and bullshit yes. through.
Just, and what is the point of that? Just as a lesson to me. Like
pork, it's called pork barreling.
Right. And I've heard right. that, but I'm just saying,
it's to get something through and you put like
you
a little.
You do something for me, right. I'll give you right. this vote.
And it's what right. they're always accused of when the states ask for hurricane money, for money from natural disasters, that a lot of times they'll like throw
there's
in
a lot of pork in that
there's a lot of pork in that but one of the things they always ask for is like funding for the system that tracks storms, and that pisses a lot of people off. I can't think of what that fucking thing is called that tracks storms.
Okay.
The Doppler
radar, and like advancing some of the things that they want, like when tornadoes hit, is they want advanced, I think Doppler radar is the one for tornadoes.
It is.
So I mean, and that's the kind of thing that people object to, that's why the South is always up in arms about, oh, they wanted all this stuff, because they don't really have tracking for those kind of storms in the Northeast. When the South was like, stop it, they're like, look at the shit you put in your bill for your FEMA bill.
Right.
So you'll find that sometimes it's like you're on the right track. Like, okay, we've just had a big hurricane. We want a little bit more money for research. Maybe you can throw some coin this way that maybe nobody will notice that you gave the researcher
some
money.
But shouldn't it all have to do with
that's an example of like better pork, but then but people just throw shit in.
It's just wild to me.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that doesn't make sense. Right. I think as far as us as voters, when we get so fucking mad that something passed or didn't pass,
you have to look at all through. The shit that goes with
it.
Yeah.
The best one is always the farm bill. Whenever every year that they pass the farm bill, look at the shit that's hiding in there that you're like, what the fuck does that? But it's just because every state wants, it's good, you know, some bills are going to just benefit one part of the country. Sure. So some senators are like, well, if everybody's getting money, then I want $500,000.
Right. I want $500,000 for my library in this little city, right. or I want something. Yes, it's all stupid shit.
And it's
dangerous shit too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like with that, you know,
they buried
Aaron
in there.
And I are supposed to
Who's
be in
not-
Michigan and. In May, so I'm hoping that bill gets turned.
I mean, because the second somebody would have stood up and rejected that bill, he'd have been an animal hater, and then that's all you'd ever hear about. Except, and even though he would have made a conscientious objector to that, would have stood up and said, "Here's why I did it." They're not going to hear anything about the rest of it. It's just you hate dogs
because there's no follow up question,
right? No, there's none. It's ridiculous.
You're Michael Vick's best friend,
right? Exactly.
So just because I mean they're talking about it here, so. This thing in India about the Section 377. Now, Annette, I've been trying... Like,
that's
just,
exactly right, Harrison.
Yeah. So, there's an Indian penal code which criminalizes sexual expression by LGBT as unnatural offenses, witnessed a small but important victory. The Supreme Court gave its much-awaited order on the curative petition against its older judgment on 377 of the Indian penal code. It referred the petition to a 5-judge constitutional bench, which will further examine issues surrounding this section. So they didn't win that you can't do this, but at least they're getting it heard by another court. So it's a very it's a little bit more nuanced. So that's what they're talking about in the
Nero. I'm glad in Finland we're allowed to have any kind of sex we want, as long as it stays inside.
Yeah.
Inside the other person,
inside
partner?
Where, could you be a little bit
there's
more
no
specific?
There's no pulling out where
in the barn, right, in the house.
In the person, right. Yeah.
So there's the link that Anant sent me this section 377 is just a little too much. Like, I don't know enough about their court system to know, like, and it's a really long article that I just have not been able to, like, I don't have my glasses on to read all the way through it.
Sure.
But, got it.
So this thing about not being able to express your LGBTQ...
All the letters of the rainbow?
Yeah. It got sent up to a higher court. Right, yeah. So that's one to watch.
Find out what you mean to me.
For what? The country with the second largest population in the world? I mean, it's a big population to be making such a... to be getting such a big jump, but it's got to go to another... It sounds like it has to go... The panel to send it to the court... is now about to hear it. So, or heard it and agreed. But
The whole thing is just insane.
Yeah, when you get to international politics like that, you're like, okay, I need a primer because I don't know what they're...
Right, and it's crazy to hear all the stuff that goes on in other countries that... I mean, we think we're up on everything here and we know what's going on, but then they have some crazy shit in other countries the world.
Yeah. And we take everything as like, what does it have to do with us? Mm-hmm. I was in Hawaii after the tsunami hit in Japan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was all those things about, you know, everybody on alert and what was washing up and how much danger the California coast was in from the tsunami. So I had met this Australian couple and we were talking. I'm like, oh, are you guys very concerned about, like, the threats of tsunamis in Australia? And they're like, why the fuck would we be worried about that 3 weeks later? I'm like, I don't know, but the American news makes it sound like we should all be, like, digging a hole or going to higher ground in Kansas, you know what I mean?
Build a raft!
Like every disease that starts, no matter where it's from, it's, oh my god, it's coming here, we have to panic.
By wave.
Well, and wasn't, because Uganda was, so if we can't Uganda, find a, am I saying, I don't want
to... So if we can't find a way to directly drive it into our garage, Americans don't care about world news.
I could swear that I saw Uganda up there, and that's
That's another thing where they're, like, their courts...
The death penalty kind of thing.
Yeah, and their courts are kind of overturning the laws that they pass, like their Supreme Court has been coming out on the side of the LGBT because there's been such a huge rise in crimes against gays. So,
there was something. I feel like it was David Muir that did a report on that, and
from ABC,
last 4 years, yeah, and that went there, and there was a guy in like a revival tent. And this awful guy.
I do recall that.
It's an American preacher that went over there and started those Uganda laws. Yeah.
I do recall
and
that.
And like showing porn up on a screen. And these women and children and whatnot were in this kind of revival tent.
Just to show them the horror. Yeah. And it's one of those crazy stories that I lose track because Uganda went one way and then they kind of like went back another way. And now the crime is up. And it's one of those things that you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's just very.
And again, we go back to the base of all of it. It's all religion.
Mm hmm.
It's all religion. It drives me.
Somebody bringing their own religious craziness to someone else.
It's getting worse to me. Like so literally,
in India is the world's largest democracy, and I think it's the second. I think China's like the only country bigger in population than India, if I'm not mistaken, or India's number one. I get those backwards. But so I mean, this is a big deal that this is on its way up, and it's a colonial law from like when Britain was living in the Dark Ages.
Yeah, that's
just infected someone else.
That's what they were saying that their laws were taken directly from Victorian England or something. Is what it said.
Yeah,
when they
were part of the empire, you know.
Right.
Wow.
So you got to get some shit off the books.
Well, I think that we should play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
All right.
Oh.
I mean, Gillian Anderson had to play, and I got the story because I know that you're a Gillian Anderson fan.
Oh, huge. Me loves her.
From the X-Files, for those that are in a cave or not familiar.
And I know her hair is terrible on this season of the X-Files, but she's wearing a wig.
Doesn't matter. She's still very pretty.
Yeah, she looks good.
She's still very pretty.
Okay.
So Gillian Anderson, and to everyone in the chat room, if you've never played Marry, Fuck, Kill.
Yeah, we can't help you then.
Well,
you'll figure
exactly.
it out. Right? We'll figure
you'll totally be able to figure this out.
I thought it was Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Either way.
They have it as it'll be Fuck, Marry, Kill.
It just rolls off the tongue better.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It is Fuck, Marry, Kill. My bad. But I wanted to, you know, go with the
Kill, Marry, Fuck
first. Yeah. So Gillian Anderson knows a thing or two about aliens, thanks to her many years playing Special Agent Dana Scully on The X-Files. But she wasn't familiar with the now classic game, Fuck, Marry, Kill, until E! News took to the Vancouver set. She quickly became an expert, it says. I don't know this game, but I'll play. Okay, famous aliens. So which one I'd fuck and which one I'd kill, basically? She then kind of got on board. She was like, wait a minute. So they gave her some different people. They asked her about Mork, Princess Leia, and any one of the Coneheads.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow.
Mork, Princess Leia, or any one of the Coneheads. Would you fuck? Which one would you fuck? Which one would you marry? Which one would you kill?
I'd fuck Princess Leia. I'd marry the Coneheads, and I'd probably kill Mork.
Okay.
Because that show got old by the end.
The character.
Nanu.
Yeah.
When she was younger, yeah, Princess Leia. Yeah. We go for that. I'd nail that.
Would that be a grudge fuck against the stuff?
Can we just drop all that, please?
Nope.
I would probably kill the Coneheads.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
And then I would marry Mork just because I need something fun in my life.
There you go. Well, her response, she said, oh, Jesus, I'd probably have to kill Mork. I think I'd have to. She says, I don't know about screwing a Conehead. I may have to screw Carrie Fisher. And what was the other one? Oh, yeah, marry a Conehead. Oh, gosh, that's
hard. She got my answer.
She said that would be annoying. Yeah, exactly. So she went with Els. You'd kill one of the Coneheads? Yeah, but then I'd have to marry Mork. She says, okay, I'll marry Mork and kill a Conehead. Can I marry a Conehead and use the Conehead to kill Mork? And just subsequently he dies too?
Yeah.
So she was like trying to figure it all out. Then it was the Doctor from Doctor Who, Chewbacca, and Supergirl. Which one would you fuck? Which one would you marry? Which one would you kill?
Oh, Chewbacca's going down. I mean,
yeah. So you're going to kill Chewbacca?
Yeah, I would. Wait, who are the other two?
Doctor Who and Supergirl.
Oh, I'd fuck Doctor Who and marry Supergirl.
I'm going to, same answer.
Benedict Cumberbatch's.
Bazinga!
Yeah.
Got it? And then we have the last one. Would you fuck Spock, Alf, or E.T.? So, fuck, marry, kill. Yo, Spock, Alf, and E.T. I just thought it was funny because they went with all the aliens.
I'd marry Elf because every once in a while that would make me laugh. E.T.'s going down. That fucker's got to die.
Yeah.
And the finger's interesting.
And however, those Spock would be highly illogical, but still do it.
Yeah. Especially the new Spock.
That's exactly. She said, which version of Spock?
Yeah, exactly. The new gay hot Spock, I'm on board with.
How much more of this game you got? I got to.
It was just those three kind of things.
Talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
But we can. So who do we have up here? We have Cher, Lady Gaga, and Bette Midler. Oh, I'm all with Jenny here. This one, I'm going to go. Let's see. I can do this.
Well, Cher's never going to die.
I'm marrying Bette Midler. There's no choice about that.
I'd probably have sex with Gaga and kill Cher.
That's exactly where I was going to go with that, yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, I hate to say it, but Cher's time's up.
Well, absolutely, and how else is she going to die?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
nothing else is going
to
kill her.
No. And, you know, to fuck Cher and get a lot of woo,
yeah.
You know, that would be fine, but I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I just don't think so. And Bette, I'd be all about that.
Like with costumes and toys, Gaga and I could get something accomplished.
Yeah, I'm sure that there would be costumes and toys.
I said that too. The finger. I thought about the finger for a minute. I thought, well.
Home, Elliot.
Yeah, but then he'd start talking and I'd be like, oh, you got to go.
You've got to be killed.
You're going in the same drain Chewbacca just went down.
So take three. Take three political guys. Right now.
I would,
So give up. What are the names?
I would probably fuck Marco Rubio.
Okay.
Ted Cruz.
Kill.
Yeah.
I have to. He's the devil.
And Donald Trump, marry, and just go and pray for lesbian bed death, like, that same night.
Oh, there would be lesbian bed death, but you'd be able to spend money to go and fuck whomever you want.
Yeah. Perhaps. And then eventually I'd kill him.
Totally.
Once I got two new contestants. You know what I mean? Once he started a new game, he could go.
Right. You're fired. Yes, absolutely.
But Rubio was like dirty, sweaty, sexy. Like there's just something about him.
Yeah.
I think he can't find his way out of a grocery bag, but.
I think he's smarmy. I think he's just, and it has nothing, he just is, he tries to be too smooth. And you can tell, like that smile that he gets on creeps me out a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be like, oh. Like, I think he thinks he's in a Trident commercial or like, ting, you know, something's going to happen. Can't stand him. And Ted Cruz is the devil.
Oh, yeah, he really is. Don't let him
everything
near your children.
Everything about ever let him near really anyone you care about, quite frankly.
But I just think around children,
they had an article about.
I think he's made of oil. Like, honestly, like, I just think he just slimy.
Yeah,
just
slimy. Yeah. Even his daughter doesn't like him, right?
He just. There's just something about him talking that makes my skin crawl. Like, sure. I do have PTSD when Trump starts talking.
Yeah.
Of a trauma that I didn't even know what it was.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree, the mind control thing. But that, to me, is Cruz more than it is Rubio. That mind control kind of, he just.
Oh, yeah.
When he came out.
The heebie-jeebies.
When he came walking out in Iowa to give, like, his, yay,
third
look
speed.
At I won. And he walks out and he's just very.
It's those mom jeans.
And oh, they're terrifying.
they're seriously a crime against nature.
And everything is like,
it's a crime against
nature. And everyone's kind of going crazy. And then he's like, well, that felt good.
Oh, and then he
went, and I'm like, oh.
And every time one of them puts on a denim shirt, I just want to swing a tennis racket at their heads. That is the one that, fuck, marry, kill, yeah. May the denim shirt go the way of denim shorts. Mm-hmm. Please, God.
Make that happen.
I like it. I love it.
Well, our final little thing for the headline segment, which
is a jean shirt. Remember when they were like pulled up real high and belted real tight, and then they'd have a cuff on the bottom? You're like, oh, God, did you need a helmet to get here or a strap?
And they drove the Town and Country Dodge minivan.
Did they have a long belt?
Yeah.
Mm, the long belt hung up.
Oh,
I know I did a week or two in that outfit.
I'm telling you,
it was
I know
rough.
I did too, but
yeah, even I caught it once in the mirror. I was like, oh, God.
I was never part of that long, the belt was longer. I never was part of that.
I wore a belt for like 6 days.
Oh.
And then I was like, I can't do this. This is a lot of work. Ooh, this is a lot of commitment.
Okay, so Anant wants to know fuck, marry, kill Anderson Cooper, Rachel Maddow, Bill O'Reilly. I'm going to kill Bill O'Reilly.
Kill O'Reilly.
Marry Maddow.
And fuck Anderson Cooper.
Easy.
Just to have sex with somebody whiter than me, I think would be very exciting.
Because then I get to have sex with Rachel Maddow for the rest of my life.
That's true.
So you know what? My love affair with her right now, I would probably kill O'Reilly, fuck Cooper, marry Maddow. Yeah. I love her. Mm-hmm. I just love her. I think she's a good time.
She's brilliant.
She'd be fun to hang around with. I think she'd be more fun to hang around with than Cooper.
Everybody is on the same page, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
I love it.
Yeah. But... There's just something charming about Anderson Cooper and what a uber nerd he is.
But while the do-si-do with Cooper is going on, I got to meet your mom. Because I need to meet Gloria Vanderbilt, because I'm just like, she's an icon. Like, I just need to meet her, and that's all.
I'd be like, show me a picture.
That's
Yeah, because keep in mind, you're fucking Cooper, so if
I meant,
a different time.
Like, yeah, like on the way to the dance. Yeah, Can we stop by and see your mom?
Post-coital.
Well, I was going to say, your mom stopping by?
After the hand towel, we'll talk to your mom.
Right, something like that.
As a little concern.
Well, speaking of that very topic, love is complicated, you know. When you tack on the experience,
when you gotta fuck or marry him.
When you tack on the experience of dating in the modern technological age, well, it just becomes a straight up shit show most often. Mm-hmm. No one is interested in settling. People are deathly afraid of hurting someone or being hurt themselves. So there's a lot of shy, non-committal young people out there. And where do they go for Valentine's Day cards designed specifically for them? The non-committal, shy people who hide behind all of the Facebooks, the Twitters, and the Instagrams. Well, I have the texts from some of the cards written specifically for these people. The first one is, my conscience doesn't come into play when I drunk text other people the way that it does when I drunk text you. Also bought this card drunk, it says. Another one just simply says, hey. Because that's how you...
I like it, right?
Another one comes up, says, I liked your Instagram from 105 weeks ago on purpose. This one I enjoyed a lot. Roses are red, violets are blue. Won't you be mine? But not like a super possessive way. I'm not clingy. I'm very laid back, super down to earth. Like, I just go out sometimes, but I'm not good to go now. I'm not good to go.
I'll eat the your mind candy before I hand it to you. I swear to God. I'll eat it.
This one says, are you on Snapchat? You should add me. Dick pics are free. For real this time. Stupid. This one I enjoyed because I've heard 100 people say this. This card says, I'm probably free to hang out after I meet with my friends for drinks. Maybe.
Yeah. Unless something better comes along.
Yeah, right. If I get a better offer, dinner tonight is on me. Sure, you can get the tip. Oh, I'm sorry. Just the tip. I'm sorry. Never mind. You make me want to be a better man on Tinder, which is an online app. It's where you get the swipe left, swipe right for that. I just thought those were kind of cute.
That's really funny.
For the non-committal person. Yep.
Those are
you make
cute.
Me want to be a better man on Tinder.
Online. Tinder. Online.
Right. Nowhere but Tinder.
There's another one that just shows a little heart, and it's got the little three dots. Like if you're typing a text message to somebody, it's just the three dots over and over and over. Like, I'm going to send you something.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait for it.
Something, but I don't know when. I don't know. We're not sure.
One of the absolute funniest things was a friend of mine went on a date last summer, and he was talking about the date, and he was describing the guy, and he's like, it's the funniest thing, but he likes to do all the things I say I like to do on my profile.
Right. But we're not getting there.
He's actually done them and been photographed doing them, and I just thought that, and he meant it so unironically that I had to laugh, like, everything I say I like, he does. I'm like, but have you ever done any of those things?
Yeah, climbed every mountain.
But that's why we had to go kayaking that day, just so he could say that
he actually
had been kayaking, because he said he liked doing it on his profile.
Heavens. We're going to do this quick little crossover. Go to the restroom, grab a beverage, do whatever you got to do. We're going to come right back. Al's got his entertainment section, and I have no idea what he's going to talk about, but I'm sure Al does.
Yeah, sure. I was just daydreaming about fucking Trevor Noah.
Oh, I didn't realize we brought that up.
Killing Noah.
All right. Anyway, we'll be right back. It's the show on Cue Talk America. Hang on. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Show on Cue Talk America. This is Cue Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hi again, welcome. It's the beginning of hour three, or as often it is called, the last hour of the hostage situation. This is The Show, it's Cue Talk America. It's the 9th of February. And by the time we get to you next week, that Valentine's Day thing will have come and gone, thank God.
Singles Awareness Day.
I just wrote it on my calendar as a day to drink.
Yep.
I'm sorry, it's next Sunday. I have no need for Valentine.
And I just wrote down a day to drink with Aaron.
Oh, there's that.
Even if I was with somebody, that would be like one of those things, like, I'd be like, I don't know.
We do, you know, we do so many things, like, that are very fun and, you know, the romantic things.
I mean, it's a weekend, so we're both off. Sure, let's go do something. But I can't imagine, like, sitting there butt hurt because... Oh my God! He didn't buy me. Like, what? Why are you buying these? Like, what the fuck is going on? And then why go?
You
like,
make me something.
It's like amateur night, and it's like one more amateur night. Like, I do not want to go to dinner with a bunch of people, bunch of two tops.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sure, watching them try to make something special out of.
Sure. By the way, that's not a metaphor. He means two people at each table.
Oh yeah,
two people at one table.
Bazinga! Watch two tops.
That's. I mean, they can do that. I'll watch them wrestle. That's fine. We can do that.
No, that might happen.
Sure.
And then they're like, well, we'll just be friends.
Yes. All right. Well, here we go. It's Al's segment. It goes like this.
We're going to talk about the TV show that you might be turning us off to start watching. A little review of Grease, the Frankenstein musical. We have a Def Den person, a couple movie reviews, and a couple of award show winners because we missed a week. And I had to listen back to the show to find out what things, like how old this list I had was about them 2 weeks ago.
Right?
It turns out I did nothing last week for prep. I just sat in front of a computer and stared at it. Like, so I was coming over here with nothing to do. Sure.
That's right. Okay. That's very
Al Perkins,
okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We have a couple of things.
So we'll start with the Death Den. Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Fabulous Horn section. Died.
Do you remember?
Oh, and the first thing I did was I'm like, oh my God, I hope Phil Bailey's not dead. Because I was like, honestly, sure, I was like, I feel like I went to his funeral. But no, Phil Bailey, very much alive.
Mm-hmm.
So of the two, Phil Bailey is your falsetto.
That brings us back to Phil Collins.
All the way up the circle.
Easy
like
lover.
Easy lover. See, there was a time when Phil Collins didn't suck. For those of you that, now his first solo album, Face Value, is just a thing of beauty. Yeah. I still listen to it all the time. Good. Still on frequent rotation. Every single song I enjoy on that CD. And then it all goes wrong. And then all of a sudden, Susu Studio happens, and I want him dead. Oh, and he did a really good song from White Nights.
Yeah, I love it.
With, I can think of who the Marilyn, no. Marilyn something.
No.
Yep, her name's Marilyn something. It really is Marilyn. Dollars to Donuts. From White Nights, what the hell?
So typical.
Yeah.
Love leads to
such a good song. But anyways, but Maurice White. So do we have anything queued up for Maurice? Anything Earth, Wind,
and Fire? Oh, I know, but I can certainly do it.
Oh, sorry.
You talk about
Separate Lives.
Separate Lives.
Marilyn, mm-hmm. someone or other.
Yes, I remember her. I remember
you. Yeah, Oscar nominated. But anyways, our point is Earth, Wind, and Fire. If you like, remember from the 70s and a little bit at the end, little early 80s. I think After the Love Is Gone was in the 80s. But they just had hit after hit after hit.
Marilyn Martin.
Marilyn Martin, yes.
Fun.
Written by Stephen Bishop.
Yep.
of On and On, and the theme from Tootsie.
And the theme from
Tootsie. I am the last surviving Stephen Bishop fan.
Yeah. No.
I know both of his hits.
I love it. Love him.
So anyways, just fabulous costumes, great songs, and one of the greatest horn sections of any band that's ever was or were. And Phil Collins' first album, he uses the Earth, Wind, and Fire horn section throughout, which is one of the reasons why that first album is so good.
For those of you who don't know who Earth, Wind, and Fire is, this is a very memorable song called September.
Do you remember when it first started?
In September.
Oh my God, it's just such a good song. It's one of those road trips like we were talking about with the Eagles. You just put this on.
It's happy.
No one that's going to be like, I hate this song.
Yeah. Right, no. Yeah. And in 99.
And you can't not move.
In 99. I don't remember who it was, but in 99, there was a remix of this that came out that I bought, and I still have the CD from it. And I used to love it. And everybody's like, oh my God, is this new? This is great. I'm like, no. How do you not know this song?
Yeah.
But it was just. Yeah.
Whenever they go to that crazy falsetto, that's Philip Bailey.
Right.
Just those two voices together were just so good. And the one that, as my neighbors will tell you, or anyone who's ever lived with me or spent longer than 2 hours in my house, at some point Boogie Wonderland is going to come on my house. And I just can't. I cannot help myself. I had to look up the words finally, because I finally had to admit, like, I have no idea what they say. I sing gibberish for three minutes of delightful gibberish. I'm completely delighted with whatever
delightful
words.
Gibberish.
Yeah, whatever it is that I have made up.
I like that.
Boogie Wonderland.
Earth, Wind, and Fire with the emotions.
But with
emotion. I don't think they. I think they're like Eurythmics. There's no the.
It doesn't say here, but. It's all good. It's so happy. I love how happy.
You cannot not dance. Ooh. And daylight springs right through the doghouse of my brain or something. I have no idea what they say in this song.
And again, they're all dressed together. There's choreography when they perform. I love it.
And the cost. Oh, God.
And you wonder where Bruno Mars gets this shit.
Right.
That's lovely. We're probably going to hit a copyright infringement on this, too. But it's all right. Anyway, Earth, Wind, and Fire lead singer.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, more than they get. I know that they sang that and something about a bet later. But the rest is just gibberish, but I sing it with feeling and conviction every time. I have never not sung along with this song, and I have no idea what I'm saying.
I'm not talking about the linen.
Yeah, exactly. It seriously is like speaking in tongues.
All right. It says it's personal this time.
But between, the harmony that emotion's giving you, and then Philip Bailey, who's just there to scream every once in a while, like at the top of his lungs in that crazy falsetto, it's just so good. That's just a delight. But the costumes, and you were just entertained, like with that horrible movie, Sgt. Pepper's, which I love. Horrible movie, which I absolutely love, and I bought the soundtrack, and I have the video, and I love it.
Oh.
One of the highlights of that movie is Aerosmith singing Come Together, but Earth, Wind, and Fire comes out and does Got to Get You Into My Life. They take the Beatles and they do that fantastic bang up all horns thing. I was hooked. I was like, this is the greatest movie that's ever been made. I am so embarrassed to tell you that is my road into the album Sgt. Pepper's is the movie Sgt. Pepper's starring Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees. It's that bad.
What was the song they did?
They did Got to Get You Into My Life.
Oh.
And yeah, and that's the only version you really know. It's hard once they from the first horn note of that song, it's hard to remember that the Beatles even did it.
Right. Oh, how fun that is. Oh no, this is a live 2004 version, not the original.
It doesn't even matter.
No, it's still good.
Because they're giving you all you need.
Yeah. The brass is there, the percussion, all of them.
I was alone and took a ride. I didn't know what I would find.
It's just like butter. But he's alive. When they sing falsetto, he's alive.
Yeah.
It's the lower
guy. Yeah.
So anyways.
Maybe we should have a music show.
Oh, I love
on this
it. Delightful gibberish goes with acceptable wetness. They were talking about acceptable wetness in the chat room earlier.
Oh,
that made me laugh.
I didn't realize
later.
That.
Like, all of a sudden I'm psychic. And Bazinga, it's going to happen to you
God,
later.
You could drown a toddler in my underwear right now.
No.
You shouldn't, but you could.
What is that from?
Archer. She's looking at pictures of Burt Reynolds and when he was in Cosmopolitan, and she goes, Jesus Christ, you could drown a toddler in my panties.
After you posted that, I Googled it and watched a little bit of that video. I was finished.
I love that show.
And there's just something about a dirty cartoon that makes it funnier.
Oh, see, it's better.
I don't
it's all
know
adult.
Why, but when it's...
When a cartoon says profanity, I'm over the moon.
Oh, my God.
It's funnier. Mm-hmm. So we'll go to, speaking of music, so they did the Grease musical live on, I think on Fox.
Fox.
That no one showed up at Cobalt to watch.
Did anybody show up to actually watch it anywhere in the nation? Like, how were the ratings?
Yeah, it didn't get great ratings, but they showed it on a, no, they did show it on a Sunday.
A Sunday?
Yeah.
It didn't get great ratings. I
have a DVR at home. I just haven't had a chance to watch it.
For Fox and what they were doing, it did. It wasn't the Sound of Music numbers. Like, now we're down to like half of what the Sound of Music did. But the weird thing, and just to nerd out and inside baseball, Grease the musical has almost nothing to do with Grease the movie. Like, they wrote almost all new songs for Grease the movie. Like, there's characters that have songs that don't have songs. And every time they remount the musical, like in the 90s, they added a couple songs from the movie.
Yeah,
like, the song Grease is not from Grease. That's not from the musical Grease. They wrote that for the movie. So it opens with a fight song. Like, that was written.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It was written by the Bee Gees for Frankie Valli.
Have that bottle, please, for just a moment. Thank you.
Hopelessly Devoted to You is not from the musical. You're the One That I Want is not from the musical.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, so what they did was they took it, and the only song that they like kind of put back in from the original musical was one called These Magic Changes, which is a gorgeous song. And they put that in, and they kind of did that to do the montage of Danny looking for a sport, which is only in the movie. But they managed to pull off this in a gymnasium with These Magic Changes, which is a really pretty song. That's how they did the montage, and they... So it was just weird, because it wasn't Grease the musical, it was Grease the movie, just redone. And they even, like, did, like, specific facial expressions. Like, they didn't try to make it their own, it was like watching a bunch of people just imitate other people. Like
lip-syncing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really strange to watch the way that they would, like, do the same mugging. And then whenever they were in the gym, whenever something happened in the gym, then the people in the bleachers were the audience. So it wasn't done on stage. The audience was in the show as...
Oh, okay.
The people in the bleachers. And they were having to be trucked. I thought it was going to be on, like, one sound stage, but they were, like, all over that studio and had to be in between, in between sets, had to be, like, golf carted to the other, like, sound stage. So it was kind of funny, the backstage. And it's one of those shows that, like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, I get it if you're trying to, like, show us, like, okay, so the movie's changed it. But the movie is kind of better than the play. Like, they really did write some fun songs. The movie's, like, damn near perfect, so you really can't argue with it. It's just a whole different beast.
I never realized that it was...
Kind of like Cabaret. The movie of Cabaret has nothing to do with the musical of Cabaret.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah,
there's an entire character just gone. They pass her by, and she's the lead of the original 60s musical. She was the lead. She's not even in that show anymore. Like, Sally Field is a minor character. Yeah. Not Sally Field. Sally Bowles.
Yeah.
I was just looking at another one of those things where, but every time that they redo Cabaret, they put more from the movie into it because they realize, like, no one wants to watch a song about there's a whole song about a mouse and a pineapple in here. Like, we cannot have that go on. This is Nazi Germany. Okay. Maybe not sing the mouse song.
Yeah.
So it was.
Ben.
But then. And I guess because they realized that in the movie, there's only two stars. Like, all the supporting character songs have gone away. Like, okay. Marty has a song called Freddie My Love. Like, the boys have These Magic Changes. Like, all the characters in the play have songs, not just the two leads in Rizzo and the Beauty School Dropout. Like, so the parts are shitty.
Okay.
There's not a lot to do in this musical if you're not one of those three people. So they Carly Rae Jepsen. Her.
Yeah.
She played Frenchie, and they gave her a song, and I was like, God, this is a terrible song. I wonder if she wrote it, because it was kind of... And then it's, like, perfectly legitimate, like, good songwriters that wrote it. And I'm like, it just died on the vine. I know I said nobody watched it, but there was some...
Okay.
That was truly awful. But then Boys to Men came out, and they were the teen angel.
I heard that they were supposed to be really
And it was
great.
That was really good. Okay. And then, like, and the stuff from the movie, except from the fact that they were just imitating the movie, it was still kind of fun. Like, I was like, all right, that's...
How was
I'm good with you singing said, "Hopelessly Devoted to You"? Like, that's
I'm probably going to get the name wrong, but Vanessa Hudgens.
That she was Rizzo. Yeah, she's good.
And it was her dad that died the day before.
I have no idea.
Yeah, they said like.
Oh, I heard something about
that. The day
before
or that day, and she just found out and had to Aww. Like go on stage for this live theater performance. And, yeah. And
well, then God bless her. It was very good. It was just, it's one of those things where like, that's not Grease the musical, but sure. Whatever you got to do.
Sure.
You well, introduce musical to more that. People, more people singing God sure. in your life. I don't care how it got there.
I'm glad to hear that because, when I watch it now, I won't be like, what the fuck is this?
But I missed the very beginning. Okay. So I know that they did Grease. I know someone sang Grease,
okay.
But the play opens with the kids from the clean, wholesome kids from the school singing the alma mater song. And then the T-Birds and the Pink Ladies come in and they do the parody.
Okay.
And they do if Mr. Clean Rydell had seen Rydell, he'd just turn green and disappear. My luck, dead duck, red duck, red duck. So, I mean, I love the fight song, the parody, and it's not there. Plus, it's filthy. Okay. So I think Grease Lightning was the one I'm like, how's it going to get away with Grease Lightning?
Oh, sure.
It's a real pussy wagon.
Sure.
You know, that there'll be... something and they'll be shitting. I'll be getting lots of tit and Grease
right,
lightning.
Right,
like that song is just straight up dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, they pretty much just sang house, cow, barn, like
watermelon.
It was really funny to watch them just not sing that song. Like they were doing all the movements and they said
that's
Grease lightning
funny.
All the time, but they could not sing. Because you can't call it a pussy wagon.
Sure,
like
sure.
There's just so much in that song you just can't say.
That's very funny.
Yeah, and that's the one that when you learn the words, you're like, huh.
Right.
Wow, that played on network television.
Right.
But just sing it really fast and mumble a lot. No one will know.
Everything will be fine.
So let's see what else is on here. We'll do a couple of movie review. Oh, The People versus O.J. Simpson, which 12 minutes ago, some of you may have tuned out and gone to.
Sure.
Okay, this.
DVR'd real good.
Really fucking good. Mm-hmm. What great television. And it's going to be his new anthology. It's Ryan Murphy that gave us Glee and Nip Tuck and American Horror Story. He's going to do it as an anthology. Each year it'll be a new crime. Next year they're doing Katrina.
Good. Okay.
You know, it'll be the horrors of Katrina played out on TV somehow. But this is by the people that wrote The People versus Larry Flint. It's those guys that wrote it. The casting is just
amazing.
Amazing. And great acting all around. Mm-hmm.
David Schwimmer is
as Robert Kardashian.
Standing.
Right? Yeah. Amazing. I was so mad that I had to wait a week to watch it again. I'm like, what the fuck world am I poor? Why do I have to wait a week for television?
I was so
mad at my TV.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I want to binge this whole thing right now.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. is just playing a phenomenal role. Like, I have to be honest with you, John Travolta and the whole Robert Shapiro, he's doing a great, but he's it's an irritating role.
Because like, he was an irritating man.
He was an irritating man, right, or is. But there's, I guess I didn't remember him being so gay. Everything that Travolta, his portrayal, just is coming across as flamboyant as hell.
And he was a starfucker too, which they actually bring up more than once.
Okay.
You know, the whole thing about having that meeting with the agents and stuff like that. But it's just really...
I guess I didn't realize that because he just comes off as uber flamboyant.
That's what I got out of it. I was like, what a fun way to play that he's a big starfucker and that you could get that in. Like, just the nuances they're getting into this with like one or two lines or a look. And the sadness of Robert Kardashian, who was OJ's good friend.
Like broken.
And you can just from the minute he finds out that there's that she's dead, you can just tell he's heartbroken. Like
he knows.
Yeah.
It's not that he knows. It's just that was his friend. She was his friend too, and he knew there was problems. Mm. So he's just playing it in this way of like, are you just sad that your friend's in trouble? Are you sad? But they're playing it like the acting is so nuanced and it's really good. And the way that Cuba Gooding is choosing to like play the whole thing of like the falling star, not guilty or innocent, but just like I'm worshipped and adored. Why are they doing this to me? Like,
right.
Just can't understand that the star has fallen. Like that's the part he can't get over. Let alone, does someone suspect him of murder? Did he commit murder? Is he lying? You're just watching someone realize like part of the public hates me. I never knew that before. So it's
no
really
one's ever been like that.
Yeah, it's really interesting to watch how they're playing all these roles and something you thought you knew and like that it's just riveting TV.
David Schwimmer has never come across he's kind of whiny Ross, you know, that's what most
he was on
know.
Colbert the other night and they showed a clip of from the scene where it's the scene where, OJ's in his house and the character who
Robert Kardashian
is the character. Okay. He's in there and he's watching on TV. He's realizing that somebody permitted OJ Simpson to do an interview. And he's like, why, who told you to talk? Why did you talk?
Where's your lawyer?
Right. What? Yeah. That was the scene that he was that they were showing on him.
Yeah, and it was just to watch people like choose, and it was it's just good acting. It's just good acting when you're watching people like, oh, that's an interesting choice, because it's rare that you see something where you feel like you watch the whole thing and you know all the people in real life, and then to watch a movie of it,
right? To know the behind the scenes,
it's so meta. It's so like I'm in an episode of you know what I mean.
Marcia Clark was on The View, and first of all, looks great.
Oh yeah,
now
finally fixed that hair.
Right.
No, she got rid of that little perm that she had.
Yep.
But very funny, as she's doing the interviews, she was a mother of two kids going through a terrible divorce and was like, no one has ever looked at me, but like, why do you care what I look like? Like,
right.
And then she was trying to have wash and wear hair because she was a busy woman on the go.
She's like, I don't have time for this shit. I got to get through this.
But to find out that at some point she had to give a press conference about her hair is like,
what?
This man killed his wife. I'm giving a press conference on my hair. What world am
I to? Right.
So that's what I mean. It's so meta. Like, you just watch these things go on, and you're like, I'm waiting for them to cut to me watching on the TV. You know what I mean? I feel like it's that inside baseball. It makes my head.
I remember when the day of the reading of the verdict came down, I was in a conference room at a local company I used to work for, and everybody in the building, we didn't give a shit that phones were ringing.
Oh, nothing mattered.
We were there on a little whatever TV we had,
a little black and white,
in a conference room that we used to watch like you know, HR videos on and shit, and we had it on whatever channel, and we were all just
grainy.
Every channel, any channel,
right? We're just sitting there watching, waiting for this
even
to come
the
down.
Weather channel covered it right. Level.
And I remember when it came down, we were all like, "Oh my god, seriously!" Yeah. And then everybody went back to work because we knew that there was nothing else. Like once they said not guilty, we're done.
Yeah.
Today I was at a client's restaurant, and on one of the TVs that they had in the bar area of the restaurant. What's that show? Deborah Norville's Inside Edition, that show that she does. Oh, and one of her reporters, they tracked down the goddamn Bronco.
They found where it is now? Yeah.
The guy who owns it, which found out is one of the guys who was an agent of or was a friend of OJ's, acquired the thing, and it's been under a tarp in his garage for 20 years.
Oh, because he's going to sell it for $1 million.
Well, sure he will.
And oddly, to kind of...
It'll be in the Smithsonian.
Kind of an odd full circle kind of thing with the fact that we are a gay podcast and the LGBTQRST respect.
Right. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Exactly.
Find out what it means.
There
to
was
me.
the first helicopter news reporter. I don't know if you guys have heard this or whatever.
Yeah.
The first helicopter news reporter that found the van, they were following or the
Bronco.
The Bronco.
Okay.
And the second, there was a, it was another reporter or it was someone that was on the ground. Either way, both now, both were born males.
Yeah, both. And
both are transgender.
And the one is very.
Wow, I didn't know we were going to go to this story.
I know, that's why I said it kind of like in an odd, but two prominent.
Yeah.
Kind of prominent figures.
At the time. Were the reporting.
With the reporting. Uh-huh. And both are transgender.
I never heard that.
It came out with the 20th anniversary of the Bronco chase.
That's what it was.
Because they went to interview both reporters, they were...
The female?
They had both transitioned. Mm-hmm. And then the one became a constant commentator on Caitlyn Jenner.
Well, wow. Okay.
Mahatma Gandhi, pick it up, pretty girl, pretty girl.
Pretty girl. So just a weird thing. The other TV show that I have to recommend on Thursday nights, and the worst advertised show in the history of our nation is You, Me, and the Apocalypse.
I have that DVR.
Turns out a British comedy from their HBO, their version of HBO, it's called Sky TV.
Okay.
It's like their pay channel. It's where they do their premium stuff. British wrote and directed, really, really, really quotable funny. One of those shows that, like, about halfway through the first episode, I'm like, I'm going to need a pen and paper. I'm going to have to write some of these down. So fucking funny.
Okay.
And clever beyond reason, a great premise, just in very British humor, really funny. And a really good cast. Rob Lowe has never, ever, ever been better. He has never been funnier.
Okay.
Playing the priest that is literally the devil's advocate. So if they want to make someone a saint, he's the guy that finds all the dirt, gets all the background smear information. And he's like, I'm the ecclesiastic turd in the pool. I mean, just, it's that kind of like, wow, that's a funny joke. You know what I mean? Like, you're just constantly amazed at like how well these jokes land.
Sure.
And like half of it's in Britain. Megan Mullally is a white supremacist with a swastika and buck teeth.
Oh my god.
I have to see that. He was saying that the other night. I'm like, I have to get a picture of this.
Yeah. And just to see her just be a completely different character that you forget is her a lot, because you're like, that's a horrible but really funny person.
Okay. Good.
But I just can't believe that they really.
Has it only been on once?
Because twice. Feel like two. There's been two episodes.
I'm gonna have to go back and look because I know that I only have one.
And it's an hour long comedy, which I wasn't expecting because I was like, "Oh, this is gonna end," and then they came back, and I'm like, "Well, I guess it's not gonna end."
Right.
Really, very, 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 very funny.
Yeah.
So that happened. Find that You, Me, and the Apocalypse, and if you live in Europe, it's gonna be on. It's all over. It's already out there. So all over Europe. It showed in September. The show has already aired and it's already on DVD, like region, whatever region that is. Okay, we'll just do two quick movie reviews. So Amy is nominated for Best Documentary at the Oscars this year. It's the, a really huge look at how photographed and recorded our lives have become in the last 15 years. But it's about the rise of Amy Winehouse and Tragic Fall.
Right. Okay.
It's a brilliant documentary. Okay. And it's one of the things that just makes it work is because everything's on camera. Sure. There's no speculating, well, what was she doing that day in her house?
Right.
Someone took a video. There's a picture of it.
Sure.
Do you think she was on crack? How about with this picture of her with crack
in her hand?
Yeah, there's no, I didn't do that.
Yeah, and there's no, like, speculating, like, what happened in this week? Well, luckily, somebody was there with a camera. And a lot of it is, and, like, the paparazzi response is horrible, but just, and I wasn't a huge fan. Like, I liked a couple songs.
Sure.
Okay.
I agree.
White girl.
I think I thought that she was a great talent. I just wasn't a. She had a cool voice and had it really.
I was into all of her stuff, but again, like he said, like there's three or four that I was like, oh, that's all right. I'm good.
But then to see her rise and like what her ambitions were and what she was trying to be, and then I was like, wow, I really like her voice. And one of the reviews said it was like it was watching a star rise again. Like, you're honestly like, wow, this is a find. And you start to figure it like, oh, this is going to end really badly.
Right,
like,
you know.
But you're thinking because you're falling in love with someone who doesn't look like her. Like, by the time we got to her, she was that big beehived, hot fucking disaster mess. But she was this really kind of pretty, awkward looking teenager that was just singing jazz in clubs all over the place. It was like, why would I be famous?
Yeah.
Who would ever want this?
Sure.
You know, who would want a 20-year-old that sings like Billie Holiday? Like, where's that niche market?
Right.
So it's so good. But anyway, so it's the odds on favorite right now for the Oscar, but it didn't win the DGA, so there's a little bit of, so it may not win, but that's so far your best money. And then Love and Mercy, Story of the Beach Boys. The story of Brian Wilson and all his fucking craziness told in a very unique way that feels like a documentary. Great music. The music of the Beach Boys. It just told through mental illness. And this is someone, that Carney Wilson, I feel kind of bad for making fun of her because she comes from a long boatload of crazy.
A shit show, right?
She really, like,
really does. This girl's genetically like
and,
doomed
and she's
at the
actually
outset.
Pretty
She's
tame.
Pretty together for like what kind of batshit crazy she comes from. And you really feel bad for Brian Wilson and that, like, the sounds in his head, the voices in his head, the demons that were plaguing him, and the fact that he got out that much good music before he went threw it in the tank.
Yeah.
And there's the crazy therapy that they employ to get him functional, but then the therapy becomes more crazy than he was, and you got to break away, but, you know, got him out of bed. The guy was in bed for 3 fucking years.
Oh, God, I didn't realize
imagine that stink. Oh. So anyways, but it's really good movie, great performances, and great music. It's one of those things that I seriously spent like $15 on Apple Music buying shit afterwards.
Right.
So we'll just go over it. So the DGA was the big news, the Directors Guild Awards, because we're in this is the no one knows who's going to win Best Picture now.
Okay.
Three different important guilds. The Directors Guild went with Alejandro Iñárritu for The Revenant.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the first person in the history of the Directors Guild to ever win 2 years in a row. The Directors Guild almost always picks Best Director. They're wrong on at the Oscars. Okay. They're wrong on Best Picture here and there, but they're pretty much married. Unless the person wasn't nominated for some reason, they pretty much always get it right. And picture and director usually go together. So now everybody at goldderby.com just having a stroke because no one knows the sure way to win the pool. Because you're like, it's weird that Best Picture is the one that we're like, oh,
yeah,
can't tell you.
Yeah.
So that was a surprise. And then we'll just go over the quick the Screen Actors Guild Awards. We were going to talk about them last week, but we weren't here.
Due to
illness.
We were not here.
That's true.
So they did their outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture, which is their version of Best Picture because they're the actors. Mm-hmm. They only judge the actors. And Spotlight won which is a movie about the Boston Herald, Boston Globe, uncovering the sex abuse scandal.
Right.
Everyone thought, okay, this was our front runner coming into the Oscar season, and then it kind of got usurped by others. Then the Producers Guild picked The Big Short, which the Producers Guild is usually more accurate than anybody on Best Picture, and then the Directors Guild picks The Revenant, so no one fucking knows. So it's just, it's crazy. Like people.
And you were saying that The Revenant was incredible.
I loved it. But right. I liked all three. But completely different movies. And then there's Mad Max coming up, which everyone loves, and everyone assumed that either George Miller for Mad Max or Ridley Scott would get long overdue recognition as directors, Ridley Scott for The Martian. And that's who everyone's thinking. No one thinks that these three little movies are going to win Best Director when there's these these momentous achievements on the screen.
Right.
That these little movies are going to win Best Director. They could win Best Picture. They're definitely going to win Best Screenplay.
Okay.
So then all of a sudden to have the Directors Guild not pick George Martin for Mad Max and not pick Ridley Scott for he's never won. You know, Ridley Scott's been making movies since God Was a Boy and, you know, the original Alien, all kinds of really good movies.
And that was him and his brother?
Yes, his brother was a producer, I think. Okay. I always forget. No, he's alive. Well, I get the one with the dead brother.
The one who committed suicide.
Of the Scott brothers?
I thought that was...
There's another couple of brothers that I mix up all the time that one of them committed suicide. So, Best Ensemble in a Drama Series, Downton Abbey. I still can't get through that show. It bores me senseless. Sorry.
I've not ever watched one episode of it. But
I've
people
tried.
That love it, love it.
And again, I like Julian Fellowes, the guy that wrote it. I've seen all his movies.
Sure.
I have literally seen every movie by him. And I just feel like, is he still doing that? Outstanding performance by an ensemble in a comedy series, Orange is the New Black, which all of a sudden became like, is the picture of diversity.
Yeah.
And anyone says that there's not work for women, there's not work for minorities, just watch that cast go up on stage and you're like, well, somebody can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And somebody can make a really compelling hour of television with people of all different races,
and can
sexualities,
make people sit down
sexes.
And just watch it over. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's compelling television. So it's there, work a little harder to the rest of you. Ridley and Tony Scott. And Tony's dead?
Maybe not.
I don't think so. But there is another brother couple.
Scott died on August 19th, committing suicide. Yeah.
Okay. And he was a big one, too.
Yeah.
Let me think. So then it's... that was Ensemble in a Comedy Series.
Ensemble.
Where everyone else has switched Orange is the New Black to drama. The Golden Globes have not followed that rule, and they've kept it in the comedy section. They're the only ones left that have still done that. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a leading role, Brie Larson for Room. We all know that's where she's going. I didn't realize till I read this that I can't say that. I don't think that's true. Leonardo DiCaprio for The Revenant, of course. It's your lock for the night. If he loses, you seriously will watch. You will hear my scream in Ethiopia.
Oh.
Like, that will be an ugly moment for everyone involved. I'm just warning you now.
I feel the rewind. Coming on.
Okay.
Rewind.
Well, isolate that.
Yeah, exactly. Female actor in a drama series, Viola Davis, for How to Get Away with Murder. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not a great show.
I love that show.
It's a cheesy soap opera, but she's just playing the shit out of that role.
Mm-hmm.
She is Susan Luching her way through that performance.
Absolutely.
Having the time of her life. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Notable difference, she wins awards.
Sure.
Outstanding performance by a male actor in a drama series, Kevin Spacey, for House of Cards. You can't argue against that. Performance by a male actor in a comedy series, Jeffrey Tambor in Transparent. Female actor, Uzo Aduba for Crazy Eyes. Again, the role of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. When are you ever going to get something that good to play? Like, I can only imagine if you were an actor and you just saw that role, you'd be like, oh, fuck me, running. This is fantastic.
No.
And there's 18 different parts in that show.
Have you ever seen on YouTube where they show her going in to try out for... And she goes in and says, well, I'd like to try out for the role of Piper. I mean, or whatever it is. Like, she's going into the casting call. And they're like, no.
I can't remember.
Have her playing all of the roles. Like, they have her
read for everything because they like her, but they don't know what she should play.
Right.
I think she wants to be tasty. Oh, no, she's a track runner. She wants to be Poussée.
Oh, okay.
She auditioned for Poussée because she ran track. And she just thought, well,
that's what I do.
And it was fantastic. And then she did a joke on it. Like, it was just and it was hysterical because here she is playing all of these parts and they're like,
but Tasty, what a great role. Poussée, what a great role. And then
I don't come on. You know, yeah. It was fantastic.
Because
yeah.
then you're like, oh, you think I'm what? Freaky looking?
Right, right. You want me for what? Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to be the pretty track runner that, you know, just drinks toilet wine. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role. Finally, what I've been saying all year long has finally come true. Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl. Mm-hmm. I really think this is her year, or was her year, and it's just going to keep getting better. That girl's just... And she was gorgeous. If you can Google that dress, 24, 25 years old, she's the hot young thing. Idris Elba wins for Beast of No Nation, which pretty much locks and cements Sylvester Stallone's Oscar win, because Idris Elba, of course, famously not nominated for an Academy Award. So everyone thought, like, oh, okay, if one of the guys that is nominated for the Oscar wins this, then it's a horse race. They voted for the only guy that's not nominated for an Oscar. So you're like, all right, Sylvester.
Right.
The short little Italian guy's going to win something. performance by a female actor in a television movie series, Queen Latifah for Bessie Smith. Male actor, Idris Elba again for Luther. If you've got the time, and Luther's another one of those shows that they make it sound like it's 2 hours, but it's like a 14-hour...
Oh.
They make it sound like you're watching a TV movie, but it's actually a mini-series. It's actually a series. It's not even a mini. There's nothing mini about this. It goes on for days. I think this newest version is they've made more... It has just been TV movies. But that original one, I feel like I sat there for like a day and a half, and I'm like, okay, we left TV movie about three pots of coffee ago. But it's really good. Outstanding stunt ensemble, motion picture, Mad Max... Stunt ensemble in television, Game of Thrones. So, all kinds of diverse, all kinds of women of color, people of color, transgendered issues. Like, so the issue with the acting branch is certainly not diversity or celebrating people of color or people with different experiences. Like, the old Jewish white guy vibe has completely left the building with these winners.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Somebody might be secretly Jewish, but everybody's got a little color going on. Like, you know what I mean? So, it was kind of a nice... reaffirmation that there's roles out there for people, for mostly on television. But in that Beast of No Nation, that movie's just hard to watch. I could honestly understand somebody being like, I can't, like I don't want to remember that I watched
it. I honestly don't know that.
That movie's so brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. And I was, And because you know it's a true story. Like some of these things I used to watch and be like,
say,
that would never happen in the world.
Yeah.
It does happen, and it seems to happen everywhere. And you know, children working for warlords, and you see these people, it's just, and this boy is priceless, and they had him out, they had, I think his name is Abraham, he came out with, Idris Elba.
Elba.
Came out with him to introduce the film, because they were nominated for Best Ensemble. Best Movie Ensemble. So the little boy was out there, and just...
Adorable.
A smile the size of the Grand Canyon. I mean, you just get... And that's why it makes it even sadder to watch that...
He said, too, as far as it being... Not the little boy, but Idris Elba. As far as it being a... Diversity.
Yeah.
You know, making the comment.
And I think if they chose like a kid that you didn't like or you didn't find so winning, and the movie starts out so happy and like this beautiful family and in Africa and this kid, you're just like, oh my God, this kid is just precious and priceless. And then you just watch him turn into a monster and you're like, I can't. I'm like,
I can't.
I'm going to need my therapist.
Sure. Could you put that on speed?
I think I just watched that on the wrong day, that movie just scarred me. When it ended, I was like, oh, I don't want to.
Sure.
So I think that's it for entertainment.
Well, may I just?
Oh, by all means.
There are two things that I have. Well, kind of three. One is about Joseph Fiennes.
And,
I thought, because we did miss it last year, last week, about Joseph Fiennes with everything that came down with the Academy Awards and how it is so white. Mm-hmm. And everything else,
lack of roles for people of color,
and that's such a big deal. Well, that next day or 2 days, like it was in a very
small window. I
feel
like it was later
window,
that same minute,
right? Very small window of time. Joseph Fiennes speaks out about his controversial casting as Michael Jackson.
I heard that.
And you know, it was really the minute that I heard it, I'm like. What?
I can't remember who the comedian said was going to play Elizabeth Taylor, but it was really fucking funny.
Oh, I don't remember.
Stand by.
There was a comedian that went right on that joke.
They said one of the most poorly timed casting announcements of the year, that Joseph Fiennes was tapped to star as pop icon Michael Jackson, In an upcoming standalone British half-hour comedy, Elizabeth Michael and Marlon. Amid the protests over the lack of diversity at the Academy Awards, Fine's casting was met with a collective groan from those calling for greater representation of people of color in Hollywood. Now the actor is speaking out on why he was chosen for the role of a black musician and what we can expect from a comedy that follows Taylor Jackson and Marlon Brando.
Okay, so that helps. I didn't realize it was... I just heard the casting. Like, I didn't do anything about what they were doing. I just figured it was like a two-hour Lifetime movie.
Yeah, no, hi. It was based on a road trip from New York to Ohio shortly after 9/11.
Okay, so if it's a comedy and we're playing it that way, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not going to do blackface.
Right, well, and depending on what... It was after 9/11, so it would be whiteface.
Yeah.
That, I really don't mean that rude. I mean, but kind of. Describing the project as a light tongue-in-cheek look at the three pop culture icons, Fiennes admitted that he was just as surprised as everybody else. He says, I'm white, middle-class guy from London. I'm as shocked as you may be. He was a guy, have you ever seen, well, this is stupid.
Stalker Channing is playing Elizabeth Taylor.
That's right.
Stalker Channing.
And who was playing a guy that Marlon Brando?
That looks like Brando. Hang on. Brian Cox. I'm not sure who he is. It looks like a stage actor.
Okay. But yeah, so, and they're trying to say that this was a real trip. Like, some people were trying to say this was a real
trip.
Trying
to get out of the city. They got to get back to L.A. They drove across country.
And that apparently it was not a real trip. That
right.
No,
a spokesperson for Liz says that she was not part of this story.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see a Stalker Channing done up as Liz Taylor.
Yes. And I thought that was good casting.
Bring us back to the movie Grease.
Right, actually, very good. So there was that. I just thought that was interesting.
Tells us we're going with the road harp, put away wet Elizabeth Taylor.
But you know what's funny is that there's a picture that I'm seeing right now online, and I'm like, Stalker Channing, I can see Elizabeth Taylor coming out of that with the heavy eyebrows. You know, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
What?
Drumstick. Drumstick.
What?
Remember when John Belushi used to play Elizabeth Taylor with a turkey drumstick?
Yes. I thought you were
not there.
It's just one of those things.
That's funny.
That once you realize if everybody's being skewered, and we can't pretend we didn't talk about how white he was for 10 years. Like, we can't all of a sudden pretend that that's not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And as was pointed out by Jenny, Joseph Fiennes' nose is just too big. You know, because, it depends on which one he had on that day, I suppose, Michael. And this is where I wanted to know if Amina had seen this documentary. When we first met Amina through the show, the word intersex came up.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat there, I'm like, I didn't know what that was. And I didn't want to be ignorant to that.
For viewers, listeners, can you redefine the, give us the definition.
So what, through this documentary, now it's basically identifying as male or female, someone who doesn't identify, if I have this right, and please, go ahead and
if you're
put me on the right track. But it's, I was under the impression that intersex was someone who was saying that they don't necessarily identify as a male or female, just in general.
Okay.
And this documentary, it's called Intersection.
Okay.
And it's inter, S-E-X-I-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it and immediately thought of Amina and wanted to learn more. And it went a whole lot deeper than what I had paid attention to or thought it might be. And maybe there are different meanings to people. I'm not sure. But in this documentary, as it points out, the first question any new parent is asked is it a boy or a girl?
Right.
And what happens when doctors can't answer that question? One baby, and I was startled by these numbers. One baby in 2000, that's such a small number. One baby in 2000 is born with genitalia that is so ambiguous that no one can tell if the child is male or female.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize it was that high of a number.
Astounded.
I'm really surprised at that.
Astounded.
But I don't spend a lot of time around delivery rooms, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely. I've delivered so few babies.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Since I gave up my life as a tech kept.
This was, the award-winning filmmaker came to the subject through Manny Bruce Mitchell, New Zealand's first, quote, out intersex person. Mitchell is a common sight in Wellington with, and they have HE/R.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Small goatee beard, which she describes proudly as my moco, if I'm saying that right. So here is Manny Bruce.
Okay.
Right there. So this person walks around and talks with everyone, like just and goes up and meets. what's the matter? What?
There's a couple things going through my head that probably aren't appropriate. One of them is I know of a few people that I'm going to now guess based on seeing that picture. Mm-hmm. I know people that who. This is going to sound so weird. I know people or knew of people back in in the Midwest mm-hmm. that it was. They were referred to as, you know, it's the creepy lady on the hill or the creepy guy that lives or you know whatever back in that area.
Yeah.
That somebody maybe lived on a house that was down a road. They had land or they did their own thing. No family, nobody was around, none of that. But it was one of those things. But it's like we're not sure is it a man or a woman, but had a little beard, but you never could identify. And I don't want to say it's like Pat from Saturday Night Live,
right?
Where the ambiguous, you know, office worker. But when you showed me that picture, the first thing I thought of was it's that person that lives alone in a house that everybody knows them. They're really nice, mm-hmm. but there's no family. There's nobody around. Nobody knows anything else about them.
But at a time when no one
knows.
And
that was kind of presented through this.
But I'm talking 30 years ago.
Right, but nobody had the words. No one had the information, the words. Like, you just didn't know what to do with.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't mean to use creepy guy, but I mean back then, because you didn't have words and you didn't know all of this.
Right.
Or most people didn't know all this. Mm-hmm. It was
of how we treated people that had any kind of disability.
Right.
You know,
a lot of people just walk around calling them retarded.
Yeah. Right. Or put Bill.
Because it was acceptable in the 70s.
Put them all on islands.
And laughing because, so anyone who's just listening, I laugh because of Mr. Perkins.
Yeah.
And Amina's pointing out, ambiguous biology, there are different types depending on what happens at puberty. Some people are born without ambiguous genitalia, but they start to develop as the opposite sex when they hit puberty. Okay, so, you know, and I figured that there had to kind of be more to it. There were just, they went that's where I kind of feel myself stopping because I keep wanting to say this gal goes and is chatting with people. And then I'm like, but wait, am I being rude? So I really, this person, right? You learn to
human
change your, yeah.
All really of a sudden you're back to playing the pronoun game. Like when you first were gay and a teenager and had to check your pronouns and how you were describing the person you wanted to date last night.
Right.
They mysteriously said this.
This intersection, it says it looks beyond the shame and secrecy that defines mentee. Oh my God, I've become Barbara Seville as Jan Brewer. Mentee. Looks beyond the shame and secrecy that defines many intersex births. And what was awful and startling and so difficult to watch and listen to, which I figured working at the restaurant, you might find fascinating. But it just took, I recoiled through so much of it because you know how in many other countries or some other countries you might hear about female circumcision and different things. Well, doctors, because you have to assign a gender.
Yeah, they make horrible, horrible choices.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And there was someone named Brenda who was raised as Brenda. And this, I believe, is... a book that I have at home and that I want to look more into, but it's these twins were born and one had was more ambiguous. So they said, you need to raise it. The doctors, there was a John Moody, I think was his name. The doctor who said, you need to raise this person as a girl. She'll never know the difference. right? If you buy her things in pink and do this. And Brenda always felt that something was wrong. And right around puberty, that because of everything going on, said something to her parents and whatever. And they're like, well, we weren't sure. And so then they looked back into it. And the issue is, like, for the men, the people that were boys, if you will, at birth, but they just had such ambiguous genitalia that it wasn't sure, so they raised them as a girl, have everything, although the inside is a girl. And so, like, did I say that backwards? The ones that were born a girl, if you will, but you couldn't see on the outside as a girl, had like a uterus and this and that, and they were being raised as boys. But they have a uterus, and they have, and here they're, and for the ones that were, the folks that were born in their body, male,
because the testicles drop, or they have...
Right, or they don't, and that's why they don't know, so they make a fake vagina, like they design a vagina, and they do the surgery, and it's to a boy. The whole thing just blew my mind. The fact that they mutilate kids.
Yeah, and based on arbitrary choices where they didn't like do any research, like, I'll just do that.
Yes, and that you had to, yeah.
So, I mean, and again, just the conversation in the chat room is, you know, one of those things of, like, I don't know what to ask. Like, you don't, like, you're like, okay, I'm without, like, knowledge or information. I don't even know where to, like, the get-off point. But so thank you, Amina, for answering all those questions. That really
is. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So it's called intersexual?
It's called intersection.
Intersection.
And so for anybody that, it's on Netflix. It was really eye-opening and brave, and just, it was right out there. And, you know, Erin was sleeping when I was watching it, and she kept hitting me going, what are you watching? Why do they keep talking about a penis? You know, and I'm like, what? You know, because I was just, you know, so caught up in this whole thing.
Tell you, she's not your real mom. She can't ask you questions like that. You're not my real mom.
You're not my real mom. Anyway, so but I just didn't know if Amina had seen that or heard of it, and it really was just something, and so it gave me a lot of questions. So I wanted to present that because of having chatted about that. So.
And God bless documentaries. I always say, God bless documentaries. Unreal. You never know what you're gonna
learn.
Gonna unfold in front of you. Learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, and I still say that about, you know, like any biographies. I'll watch a biography about somebody I have no interest in, and I'm like, oh wow, they're connected to this, this, and this, and I didn't know they were part of that. And you always learn something.
Well, and you know, if I may, because Amina has up there officially, I say female. She said, because people are stupid, and I just said she, because I've gotten used to that, because that's where,
right.
So is that?
Well, she looks female, but she's biologically. I look female, but I'm biologically male. So I'm
right, and I'm seeing that on there. So I'm asking. You, Amina, is that...
Well, she said intersex when we asked, or...
Absolutely, but then she...
And I guess we've just assigned a pronoun since then.
No.
But it's okay, because he gets Nero's wrong all the time, so...
I don't know who these people are. I'm astounded that you all remember where they live, what they do, how they identify.
I wrote it down on a piece of paper.
I know,
right there,
but I got, just but I got nothing. Right, like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we do that when 4 weeks in a row you're like, look, Kenya's listening again. Yep, same person.
I don't know. I got too many other things going on. But I'm glad you're all there.
I appreciate Nero. I still have no idea what I am. I was born female. I thought as a child I would grow up to become a male, and now I just can't care anymore. There you go.
Yeah. I don't either.
There you go.
Look at this.
I think eventually everybody ends at that point of like, oh, well.
Huh.
That happened.
And I just want to be...
But eventually you don't use it, so it's like, well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, oh, well.
For as much as we go... For as
I sit down when I pee
here,
anyways because I'm lazy.
As much as on here how we go, well, that got rid of the intersex folks, and cross people off our list, and there goes Japan, or whatever it is that we might say, those are the kind of things that I really would... That I want to know so that to be polite about it, to be able to say... She or he or whatever. That's just my thing. So anyway.
You're not attracted to specific genders or fluid.
Or are you just fluid? Like, does it?
Oh.
That's another way to say bisexual. Like, mm-hmm. Just fluid with...
Sure.
I like that. I like this. I like some of that. I like some of this.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought the gender fluid, I thought was bisexuality.
It is, kind of.
Right. I mean, like, so then I get...
But then you're kind of not buying into your B, so you're doing you're doing the fluid sexuality.
I like to do the GF.
So
do
I have to add F?
Yeah, like fluid.
Yeah.
But fluid makes everybody nervous, so you're like, oh.
Crikey.
You what?
Crikey.
Crikey. Well, we're close to the end. I think we are going to move into this segment, and we'll see how it goes, so stand by.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Good luck. So, like, what's something that, like now that you've explored this topic and you want to, like, you know, you found it, you know, and you find a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing to have. Like, what's something else that you're like, I really want to know more about that? Like, what's something that you're like, oh, I wish.
Astrophysics.
Astrophysicist.
I want to know when the chili cook-off was.
Yeah. I feel like it was 2004. 2003, yeah.
2004. I just don't know. You know, honestly, the psychology of things just, the psychology just fascinates me, in general. And so looking and finding out these different things, and when you watch, whether it is the stuff about O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
And kind of reliving that, and I had put in the chat room, like, I was captivated by court TV. Like, I was hours and hours of just watching that when that trial was going on. Anything that's Charles Manson, or, you know, just that whole thought process. People that follow Donald Trump, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you kind of go, what's behind that?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated.
You kind of want to sit in on their therapy lessons.
Absolutely.
And be like, oh, tell me more.
Yeah, absolutely. And try to figure out what that's about. I do. I love that kind of I love that kind of stuff. So to find out more, that's why with documentaries, like you were saying, I just... different things, really.
Well, like that Going Clear documentary, like mine sometimes is about like the religious part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, who goes for those religions, and then who decides which ones are more crazy than others? Like, who decides which magical tale is the more crazy? You know,
right? Like, and they create their own validity to them, and they're like, well, that makes sense. Sure. Well, sure. How do you buy that? How do you buy into that? I will never understand that.
Like, I'm buying into this crazy heap of shit, but I think yours is nuts.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. That's one where I'm like,
I'd like some more Kool-Aid, please.
All right, I think your religion is really violent, but look what happens over here. Like,
you all deserve to die, but no, we all are fine. Yeah, right. Whatever.
We're chosen.
To that point, oddly, last Friday, we have a thing in Phoenix, which I'm sure a lot of other cities do around the world. The first Friday of every month, there is a, like, for in Phoenix, we have an art district where they have outdoor truck, food trucks and different things and displays and street performers and different things. I inadvertently had to walk through it between two clients on Friday, two different restaurants, and I had never done that, and it was
experienced it.
It was appalling to me. It was appalling because, speaking of the religion, on every corner was some crazy person on a soapbox with a bullhorn screaming at people that they were all going to die. Like it's all, and I'm like, how? Like Al just said, how did they just pick that vein of like this is where I'm going? This is what I believe.
Right.
How do you pick that? How do you decide that crazy is okay and it's justified? I don't understand it at all. I just don't get any of that stuff.
Well, and the idea that what people scream, like, again, we all differ when it comes to the idea of maybe a more spiritual message, which is what I would call it, as opposed to religion for me. But the idea that people sit there and apparently I've learned recently that that's probably why I'm a Democrat, because we're talking more about peace and love than we are about how the world's all going to blow up and everything's right. going to hell in a handbasket. And
you're against so many people.
Absolutely.
And
right?
science.
And you just hate science and you hate people.
Again.
And you hate, but I think that when those people are standing there screaming that just vitriol, like it is awful. And the idea of people being so scared into saying, I have to join you.
Right. Fear. Pure fear.
Fear. Yeah. And I just.
I've never understood that.
And especially out there, Clayton, because it's so many young people.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of young people that I'm like, they know nothing about what's really going on. I'm printing with a broad brush, clearly. Yeah. But I think I'm safe in saying the majority have no fucking idea what's going on with anything that we're watching, like with this New Hampshire stuff. And I'm not saying you have to watch all of it, but at some point you've got to come around and be like, what's going on?
Oh, whenever somewhere? I see little kids at like an anti-abortion railing where they're like,
and they have no idea
that someone's going to hell, and like, you brought your child to this?
Yeah. There's no reason to involve that kid who doesn't understand any of it.
In
just like at the political rallies, they've got little tiny kids holding up all these signs. Well, I'm sure that this kid in 15, 20 years is going to be like, Jesus, there's a picture of me at a Trump rally. And I'm like, you know, they're all about the Democrats. Like, I hate that.
Well, and in Uganda, like, that's where they have these little kids running after people
to
kill them. And, like, I hate you and throwing
stuff. And they don't understand.
They don't know what they hate.
Right.
Or why do they hate? Or,
there's no reason.
It's awful.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we varied from what you're. I don't even know what the hell question was.
No,
I just,
like, is there anything that you've wanted to learn,
learn more about?
Like, what's something that you're just like, if you told me there was a documentary about that, I'd probably watch that and its sequel. And
well, I think to a point, I have watched a documentary a little bit about that, because we've all watched things about Jonesboro, you know, the drink, the Kool-Aid, where that comes from, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. The other one was when you watch any documentary with regards to the Manson murders.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. He's fucking crazy. And he got all these people to buy in to his plan.
Hail Bop. Remember Nikes, where the Nikes and the tracksuits and the same kind of concept.
It's just not. I guess I would want to learn more about that, but I don't think there would ever be a way that I can wrap my head around that crazy.
Yeah.
I just can't. It's all very logical. Things are logical to me. I've been watching late at night on, I want to say, either the Science, I think it's a Science Channel. It's a series called How the Universe Works. And it's amazing to learn how things were created and the theories of how water got to Earth and all these things and how we traveled through the cosmos, as, you know, all these things.
Oh, and tides. And how the tides work with the moon. That's just witchcraft.
It's wild.
I just, what? Like, every time someone tries to explain that to me and gravity and how that works and why
and then
it goes
they can
in and out,
show
like,
you. And you're
I'm like, whoa.
And the same people who will believe all the crazy bullshit religion buy that, but they'll pick and choose what they want to believe. Like, I understand gravity. I get that.
Yep.
But you don't take the rest of it that goes
but
through
they
that?
They feel like they can show you. Like, they can.
Oh, my God.
Because this happened on this day.
And you can explain to me the moon and gravity, like, every 6 weeks.
And you'll still.
And at 5 weeks and 6 days, I'll be like, oh, I lost it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm like, but, like, sometimes the moon's not there. Like, it doesn't have to do with the full moon or the new moon or the moon's only there. Like, you know what I mean? It goes in phases, but the tides go every twice a day. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, and I honest to God, and I'll sit there and you'll show it. And now we're going to have a special about the moon and gravity. I'll be like, I can't wait.
Fascinating.
I have no idea.
I never knew that. And you did, but you never knew you knew
and
it.
And I can't keep it. It's like calculus. I can't keep it in my head. Five minutes later, I'm like, I forgot already.
And again, all of these things they talk about, you know, literally, and it's Mike Rowe from like Dirty Jobs. He's the one who's narrating it. And literally, when you listen to the whole thing, they're talking about something. And he's like, and this happened 500 billion years ago. And the water did. And like, again. Science. They can track. They can figure out track this shit.
Carbon date.
Anything.
Yeah.
And then when they do the cores, we talked about this. A fascinating thing that I watched with regards to the icebergs up north in the Antarctic, where they were able to drill through them and they got a core for the first time they've ever been able to core directly below them and pull the cores out and go through and see all of the eras of the Earth. You know, cold era, warm era, cold era, warm. Oh, here's where the dinosaurs were. They can see it in this core.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to believe it. No. I mean, so many people don't want to believe it, and it's just crazy to me.
So I just looked up epistemic closure. Thank you, James.
Oh, my God. What the fuck is that?
Well, I just wanted to sound smart. Thank you, James. It's a property of some belief systems. It is the principle that if a subject... I don't know. This is S and P's and P's and entails and
Q's European?
And S. And, I think it's European.
Okay.
Most epistemological theories involve a closure principle, and many skeptical arguments assume a closure principle. See, anyone can kind of read something, but I have no fucking idea what any of that just means.
Is it because they don't understand it? They just have to find an end to it so they can believe it? Is that what that means? Can I get that translated, please?
I don't know.
Yeah.
James!
James!
James, we're gonna look that
up. Wait. That of buying into a belief system, regardless of contrary fact, is a phenomenon is called
Thank you.
Yeah. That's what we need.
Because I'm saying, even on Wikipedia, they have
you just make it fit into a bubble. You have a bubble that it'll fit into, James. And you can just live with
that. I have a fucking headache.
And no matter
right now
what someone says, it doesn't matter. Now, mine is the thing that I can't figure out how it happened. And again, it was in the 90s, and I was there watching it.
When two people love each other very much.
Showing me on
and
the
and one
doll
of them wears a calf skin. Yeah.
Show me on the poo doll.
Yeah, show me on the bull. So,
bazinga.
So how did, and now I'm watching The X-Files. So The X-Files is guilty of it too. Like, they bring it up over and over and over again. How did we all get into this satanic cult mentality of the early 90s? Probably for like a good 4 or 5 years, where we were believing that people were part of satanic cults, and like all these murders were going on, and all these phenomena were all these satanic cults, and like it was a real problem that we had.
It was happening here in Phoenix.
We were looking for satanic that didn't exist.
Well, isn't that what they said about like the West Memphis Three?
Right. Because I always thought that was just some isolated case. Because I have this, like, even though I saw that documentary 20 years ago, even I forgot that that was something that all of the local news in every place were like, now we have to watch out for this show. These maybe satanic worshipers are coming to Phoenix. You know what I mean? Like, it was that kind of like scare news tactics. But everyone bought into it. And even the X-Files, like, they were like putting it in as a real, like, could this be a satanic cult? They always write it off, thank God. They never go down that path into a satanic cult. But they keep talking about it. And I'm like, how did we all fall for that? Mm-hmm. Like, at what point did somebody be like, enough already? They're just wearing black.
Right.
I mean, they just like eyeliner. Settle down.
Well, and Columbine and anything else. I mean, that had to have been because of a satanic cult. And because people started drawing certain symbols.
Long did this go on? And how did we all get sucked? Now, I mean, I'm not saying that I ever did it, but I mean, it was such a bizarre leap to make about people that just, like, were, you know, beatniks, basically. Like, you know, 20 years before, they were listening to bad poetry in the village, drinking whatever their version of an artisan beer was at the time.
I contend a lot of that comes from boredom. These kids. I sound like an old fucking person.
The kids weren't really doing it. We were paranoid about it. That's
right.
Thing. Like,
but because we had nothing else to be afraid of, scared about.
If you're talking in the 20s,
and I'm sure it's somebody who's like, God, there's nothing on the news today. What story can we come up with? Let's dig up something.
Well,
bye,
and
Harrison.
And
thank
just
you.
So, Amina, just so you know, you said one. I got 70-ish. You're not developmentally disabled until it's in the 60s.
Yeah.
But
you're good.
So 75 you're fine.
Is good.
You're
yeah
absolutely fine.
I have no idea. Hey, I'm like that every day, and I run this goddamn show.
But yeah, it really is. You're right. It's fascinating. And that goes back to the psychology kind of.
Yeah, that we just got sucked. The nation got sucked into this whole, like, we have to be worried. They're wearing eyeliner. Maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know. Like,
it's The Cure. It was 80s music.
You're
and
right.
Some other stuff was good.
Right.
But The Cure isn't
such... No, it's not at all.
Very happy.
No, but that's what...
But if you were just to judge the book by the cover...
But what's his face from The Cure?
Well, what about...
Robert Smith.
Oh, Robert Smith.
Where's the eyeliner? Had the crazy hair.
Look at Nirvana.
He wrote a love song, and he wrote...
In the 90s.
But they're a little bit more angry.
No, but that's what I'm saying, though. Nirvana.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, it was very angry, but you take all of that and put it together, and the eyeliner, and wearing this makeup, and being mad, and...
And I guess you could, I have a friend that was pretty much suicidal listening to Disintegration, and I couldn't listen to it. Once I got rid of him from my life, I loved Disintegration.
Oh.
But watching him listen to it, I wanted to
associate.
I'm like, just, can I kill you?
Can I help you?
Because it's taking you way too long to kill yourself, so...
Yeah.
How do we wrap this up? My God.
Yeah. Absolutely. So
that he was poor thing.
Yeah. Best thing for him, really. His therapy was going nowhere. I'll just quote Lecter on that one. Best thing for him.
Yeah. Plus, so how about tests? Are you guys going to get a test? I'm not. So when they're talking about having to take IQ tests, I would lose my mind.
I've never taken one. I don't know.
Just IQ, just in general. Like, I don't like to. I'm not good at test taking.
I'm a very good test taker.
Okay.
Always have been. I never really had to study.
I'm great in class. I'm great in like all that and the exchange, and I love all of that. Can you put a test in front of me? All of a sudden, I'm like.
But I don't have like math or test anxiety, and didn't know that was a real thing till I went back to school and watched other people like lose their shit. It's just a test. You either know it or you don't. And I didn't realize like how few people have that attitude of like, you either know it or you don't.
I'm sure there's places you can go to get the test administered to you, right?
IQ test, they're
Do you mean like someone reading it to you and like proctoring it that way? Or
no, what? Just like where do you go to sign up for somebody to take you take it and then they score it?
Yeah, I'm sure. Community colleges or
check cashing places all over town. Maybe. I don't know.
I know in high school we went, there was a there was a phase in the early 80s where it was a big thing to know what your child's IQ was.
Oh.
Yeah. But my mom, she drove around that block. She's like, No, not today.
But it wasn't today, Berta.
It wasn't something that I ever...
Yeah.
It wasn't something that I knew with... I don't think... Either they... Maybe they were just doing it as part of, like, the guinea pig era that I was in of schooling, but... Mm. Like, I don't remember them saying anything, and no one, you know, put me in that.
If I ever took one, I wasn't smart enough to realize I was taking it. Oh, Luminosity.
Yeah, Luminosity, that. There's a
Jenny, thank you.
App on there. Yeah.
And their IQ tests are...
Oh, interesting.
And it could have been because they were finding out that they were biased. Maybe that's why we took them. Like, I think I might have been part of the era of finding out how they were biased. Oh. There was a reason why we were tested, but, like, we weren't... I don't remember any follow-up from it, or, you know, I'm sure
what's
my friend
the basis?
Gina would have,
what's
I'm sure the, my friend Gina would have felt superior.
What's the
about
basis
it?
Of an IQ test? meaning, who decided this is the test to prove you people are smart? I don't know where it comes from.
I mean, it's a lot about, can you find the relationship between these things?
You give me a question that says, two trains leave at this time.
Like
first of all,
wise,
I'm going to be late for that first train.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to miss the second one. So can we get a new question?
Yeah.
Or a new train.
So tell me about when the third train
gets
there last.
What's the schedule?
I'm on the train that got there last.
What's the new schedule for the train?
And I'm sure my luggage is on the first or the second because somebody...
Because somebody loaded that up.
Because I made somebody carry it.
Because it'd be too heavy. Yeah. So they're playing their own bullshit session and in the chat room. And I would agree. Those kind of tests are... They are bullshit.
And they're bullshit. I remember hearing that they were biased. I remember that being part of it. That they and you
as
know,
an issue
as an issue of why we were taking it. I don't remember. It was there was so much that happened when I was in high school because I was in special classes the whole time. That sometimes they would just march
you were
us through
stoned?
Stuff. No, I mean I wish, but honestly, I wish I could have told them that like my senior year. Like I wish on stage when I was that high. Graduating with honors and all that stuff and all the classes I took.
I did this on pot.
I just want to let you know
I really wish I could have said, like, been stoned this entire fucking time, people. Like,
and I'm sure I've been doing it. We know, Al.
Right, but I think the teachers were like, oh, he's really smart. No, I'm just stoned off my ass and really uber focused.
Free-IQtest.net.
Free.
I bet that'll be accurate.
IQ.
I bet you can find that on Facebook.
And like,
I would go with Luminosity before I would go.
No, I'm
but
just
honestly,
looking up
when I was in school,
things,
we did like Iowa testing. There was standards tests.
Yes,
like
yes.
We were, there was at least monthly that we were like hauled off somewhere to be tested. Like it was just.
I wasn't. I don't recall.
It
any
was
of
just.
That.
I just remember constantly taking tests.
Or did I do it and I don't remember?
Also,
it.
FunEducation.com is a free IQ test.
Which I mean, it may be that.
Say that again.
FunEducation.com.
Oh, now I remember what Luminosity is. That's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm, it is,
but it really does show those
games.
Relationships.
I thought my mom was. I thought my mom was playing games on that.
A lot of people are. It just kind of keeps you, kind of keeps you going, keeps you fresh.
Yeah.
Looking at things. Yeah, it's. I am on the, where you look at, like the teenager one. You know, for some like teenage Jeopardy.
Say Rorschach
and,
test.
No, but like teenage Jeopardy, anything like that, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm too stupid.
And Amina,
I'm not smarter than a 5-year-old. So.
Amina saying IQ tests are not accurate. How can you test IQ in a kid who lives in a refugee camp and compare that to a suburban affluenza team? Amina, that was breaking news in 1982 or 3. Like that's why, I feel like that's why I was part of that. It had something to do with that study. Was they were really taking finding out that as you gave that to people of different cultures, like how long you'd been in America had a big idea of what you were testing. Like they didn't realize how biased the questions were of like what you're assumed.
Jenny got hauled off to play golf.
She has nothing is free and no one's that pretty. That's just
But so that was, like I said, that was breaking news. You know, 35 years ago that it doesn't work the same for everybody.
Right. Right. If you're within the United States, you know, someone in that lives in the south side of Chicago compared to Beverly Hills.
Right. Very, it's going to be very different answers.
Real different. Yeah.
So the person making a cultural question is
it would be interesting for me to do only because I hear so often from others, because I'm a good reasoner. Like I can figure out how something works and do all that. And they're like, oh, I can never figure that out. You're so smart. I'm like, I don't think I am at all. Like
there's all different kinds of.
No, right. You're analytics. I'm not good at math. I know that very well. But there's certain things that I'm like, a lot of people, I've just heard this, like you can fix anything. And I always think, well, I just become sick in nature. I don't even think about it really.
So they may not be able to measure what you're smart on the standardized test. That's why like standardized testing is so.
Like you have to take a mechanical test,
You would have ended up in a trade school being like, oh, you're one of those people that has to go to VoTech. You know what I mean? Like you have to go to vocational.
You have to weld for the rest of your life.
Instead of saying like, oh, you're really good at this, let's focus on like you're really good at this. It's like, well, you're not good at this, so you have to go do this. You know what I mean?
No, you can't do that.
You could be stronger in this. You could work a little harder.
I think that's a little bit after all of us left school that they started to be like, okay, this is not what you're good at. Let's go over here.
Sure.
And I think math phobia I don't know. I just feel like that was just something that people just had no idea what to do with.
I did sophomore.
People thought I was absolutely full of shit. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you.
My sophomore year of high school, we had moved to a new school and I took Intro to Algebra. And I don't even know that I made it a week. And I'm like, I went to the counselors. And I'm like, absolutely not my deal. We're just not going to work with this. I can't. And I still don't. Oh my God, I'm just horrible at math. I have this, my own way of doing math in my head that gets me there. But like all of those fucking signs and not even a calculus. Michael can do calculus. And I'm like, oh, how the fuck you do that? I don't get it. It just doesn't work in my head.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Does not work in my head.
And Aaron's like, well, then Common Core should be so easy for you. And I mean this with love. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Because it's not. I look at it and I'm like, what in God's name is happening right here?
That's a template they put on everybody that doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, math even pre-Common Core didn't work for me, but you know, I remember
the
raising 70s my
were
hand.
Brutal.
It was awful. Yeah. I remember raising my hand in an algebra class in 11th grade and saying, "Wait a minute, so I don't understand this. How are you getting letters to equal numbers? And what? I can't wrap my brain around this." And my my algebra teacher was my soccer coach as well, so she was like, we have to keep you your sports, so we have to keep you with your grades. So she would help me all the time. And here I raise my hand, and she's like, well, in front of the whole class, Marnie, let's say you want to build a bridge. And she started to go on, and I closed up my books, and I got up, and I walked out of the room. Fuck you, I want to build a bridge. Why do I want to build a bridge?
Yeah, how did this
also
become
I can't do this. Why do you want me to build a bridge?
Yeah.
You don't, because it's not going to be safe. So this is ridiculous.
Dead bodies everywhere.
I thought this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. Four years later, I get to college. I have to take an algebra class because they make you.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and in the 4 years since I've been out of high school, I have not needed this shit.
Yeah, exactly. I've never solved for X.
I never solved for X. At which point, I looked at the algebra professor. Why do I need this? And that's my deal. Like, I need to know if you can give me a reason.
Oh, and in nursing, I use it constantly.
I need
like,
right.
You're constantly doing algebra. That's one of those skills that people are like, you use it just about every day.
See, and not being a nurse, I'm looking at
it. The minute you walked up to a sign that says 50% off, you're doing algebra. You have to figure out what X is.
And I
what
do is, that, but there's a difference when because I can see, I know what 50%
you've made practical life out of it. You've taken right. it out of math and made it real life.
Right. Yeah, and I can do that.
If you don't call it algebra, then that would work for me.
Right, and that's what you have to get people to do is just like, you have to show them all the different places.
Because I'm sure I do, I use these, those formulas in other ways.
One of your tires just fell off your car. How many tires you got left? That's X.
Oh.
You just solve for X.
See, and that's the kind of thing, three quarters if someone of my had tires. Done that, because I'm not shitting
you. 0.75.
You can get that to fractions, you can get
right.
that to a
decimal. Decimal, right.
You can do math all over the fucking place, because someone just gave you a story.
Right.
With all
that give, makes sense to you.
Yeah, yes. I've got, I know how many tires there were, I know what X is, I know what tire's rolling down the street, I know who's screaming in the car, like...
Four
someone
years.
Has to give you
there's
the analogy.
Why. Yeah. There goes why.
I think it was somewhere in a textbook. 4 years later, that math professor looked at me, that algebra guy, and he said, Barney, well, let's see. Let's say you want to build a bridge. And I went, I threw my pencil in the air, and I walked out. I was done. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. For like the amount of time that had gone by, and that's what you're going to take me back to? It meant nothing to me. Sitting here at 46, and you saying that to me? Well, now, okay, now I get that.
Yeah, you just solve for X.
Right. But they tried to make it this much bigger thing. And, yeah, and I think that kind of...
And 70, your chucks are $100 or 75% mm-hmm. off. Right. How much are the chucks?
Right.
That's X. You just figured it out.
Right.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Like, and it's one of the... You just need someone to, like, just... Put it down
talk to
like
me
the,
like I'm a three-year-old.
Right, and then you can build up your knowledge. And then somebody just put in there about learning by rote. I can still whip out an a multiplication table, and I can do math. Sure. Like I can do math in my head like a crazy savant.
Well, and that's what I'm.
Because
I agree.
Of all the tables.
I agree with Amina about it being
and math
by
is
rote.
Taught with violence.
And Aaron,
like anything that's a multiplier of three, the numbers add up to three. Doesn't matter what you do, if it's divisible by three, those three numbers add up to 3, 6, 9, 12.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. Like all those little laws about how to memorize a multiplication table, and like I can do it diagonally. Like I can see the numbers in my head.
Sure. I can do that part.
I can follow them. Like,
yeah.
I still do like 9 times 3 is 27. I still do that.
Oh, sure.
So because you get your 2 and you got the rest of them.
And
7.
See, Aaron and it was, say
I
that. It's
I,
that
I mean,
rope
I wasn't
stuff.
Stoned when I learned that in like the third grade. But I mean, that seriously was. I have that kind of like. Brain, and if you tell me to memorize it like music, I got it.
And Aaron says that's why Common Core is so good, because the idea is instead of the by rote, anyone with Common Core can tell you why and how they got there.
Oh, right, where they can explain the math, right?
Whereas I'm like, I don't give a shit. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Do I get an A?
It's one of those nuts topics that now that you're an adult and you're just like, I just know how to get from A to B without dying.
And thank
God. Somebody said, like, your car breaks down on the south side of Chicago. How do you make it
alive?
That
was James.
There's your IQ question.
Uh-huh. That's exactly
right. Oh, you're street smart. I got it. Yeah. You're street smart.
Because after like 15, that's what it is. Three of your friends are huffing paint and getting into a car. How do you stay alive and not end up in, you know?
Oh, well,
Jenny had an abacus.
If we figure out how to stay alive until next week, we might get Kat Carlson back. All of us. There'll be 100% of all of us will be back if we
that's
get
right,
hurt.
That's right, because only 75%
right,
of us
are only 75%
here.
Today. Thank Cat you for being here. Everybody, the chat room was fantastic tonight.
Yeah, thank
everybody.
You guys.
Jenny, Nero, Amina, Anant, Mama Di, Joe D, everybody. Drew,
Aaron,
Harrison. Thank you all.
Yep. James,
oh, and
thank you,
okay, there was I didn't go to a Catholic school, so there was no hitting was, people in my school. Like, no one ever got hit in my school. So
as we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will... See you next Tuesday!
I have no idea where my camera is.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.